talked about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
And now, I must ask that small children leave, good women avert their eyes, and men take a stiff slug of circus whiskey. Behold, the most hideous creature of all.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
The worst thing about Halloween is, of course, candy corn. It's unbelievable to me. Candy corn is the only candy in the history of America that's never been advertised. And there's a reason. All of the candy corn that was ever made was made in 1911.
What are you dressed as?
An adult with dignity.
Well, whatever it is, it's terrifying.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Time to release the Kraken.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Talk about a party.
Roll another one.
I don't know, so that's a toss-up.
Just like the other one.
That's racist.
This one seems to be about to quit.
She's fun.
And I need another hit.
It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
Happy Halloween, everybody.
Roll.
Our dicks.
Just like the other one.
Stay away from the crack.
This one seems to be about to end.
Well, that's just good sense right there.
I don't have another sense.
What was the question? I'm sorry. I'm really high right now.
But don't want to guard that joint.
This place is a death trap.
Just pass it around.
Fire, dear mind.
Down.
I just pass it on down.
And now,
I've got a story so scary you'll wet your pants.
Too late.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Friday, the 30th of October. Oh, that felt good.
Sunday is Blovember, people. Imagine.
That's right. Blovember's already here.
We slide right into Christmas and we're at the new year.
Yeah.
Yep. How does that happen?
Oh, no. It's happening. It's going to be full on Christmas when you wake up on Sunday night. Full on Christmas, which is fine.
And don't forget daylight savings time, because that's important. On Sunday morning at 2 a.m., daylight savings time changes, and you set your clocks back.
Standard time, right. Exactly.
Right.
See, that's my new approach. Rather than fixate on the saving part, I fixate on the fact that everybody says it's daylight saving time this weekend instead of standard time. So now I've got two issues to fight at the same time.
Oh, wait, that must be rough.
You're trying to get everybody to say standard time?
No. What's happening is that people know the time changes this weekend, and every time there's a time change, for some reason, everybody thinks it's the start of daylight saving time, and it's not this weekend. It's the end of daylight saving time.
Okay.
We start saving in the spring.
It's standard time starting this weekend. So it's actually hilarious to see even news organizations like yesterday.
Define hilarious.
Right? I think by hilarious you mean it's killing you.
It's killing me quickly. I may not survive this weekend. This is a huge weekend for me because of all the strongly worded letters that I'm going to have to write all weekend.
Sure.
Right. But I am booked. Halloween weekend this year, I can't do anything. All those parties I would normally go
sure.
to.
Sure. So you're known for?
I'm going to have to stay away from.
You're still throwing yours, right?
No. I've got to cancel it. I got to be at the keyboard, man. I got to be fighting the good fight all weekend long.
At any point, do you just go, you know what? Not making a dent.
Mm-mm.
Just going to move on.
I believe I am making a dent. That's the
Please thing. Explain.
You know the old parable about the guy who tries to rescue the baby turtles that can't make it to the ocean and they're all dying on the beach, and he goes and he starts trying to put them into the water, and the guy comes up and says, there are thousands of turtles out here? What? Why are you shaking your head?
Not one of us in this room know that parable.
You know that.
No, we don't.
Why are you wasting your time with trying to get all these turtles back into the ocean?
And then Enid starts eating the turtle. I've seen that.
You can't save them all. And he says, because it makes a difference to every single turtle that I save. It's one turtle at a time. Look, I can't fight the whole world,
right,
but I make tiny little bits of progress here and there. And that's enough to keep me going, because I know incrementally we'll get there as a people. Hey, we got a big show today, but before we get started, Kevin, who – I think I'm going to ask you a question I think you're going to know the answer to. Who
that's rare.
Is, fun. Yeah.
Very rare, I know. Who is your – I'm going to give you 5 seconds to think about it. Don't blurt out an answer, so I want you to be serious about this. I want you to come up with a real answer, okay?
All right, Dave Grohl.
Who is your favorite Canadian internet weather broadcasting sensation?
Frankie, yes. Frankie, the weatherman.
Frankie McDonald, who, as you know, has been on YouTube for several years now with his weather forecast, and he's very serious about the weather. He always wanted to grow up and be a weatherman, and now he kind of is, even though he just does it on YouTube. I mean, he probably has more people seeing his weather forecast than he would if he had gotten a job at a TV station like he wanted to when he was a little kid. I don't think we covered this last year, but it has come back around. Frankie's advice for Halloween trick-or-treating.
Oh.
Again, this is his 2014 edition, but I think his advice is so sound that I think it all still holds true, and it's something everybody should keep in mind if you're going out tomorrow night, okay?
Right. This is Frankie McDonald, my own TV station live. It's Indy, Nova Scotia. Here is my advice for the Halloween night for 2014 on Friday, October the 31st, 2014. When you go trick-or-treating, you'll be very careful and extra careful, and kids will be getting lots of treats in. They'll be dressing up costumes such as vampires, Draculas, Frankensteins.
I think my favorite part of the video is that they'll be dressing up as vampires and Draculas.
Well, that's true.
Yeah,
all right. And Frankenstein, let's see what else Frankie's got.
Pumpkins, ghosts, and other scary costumes, well. And kids and people will be also dressing up as video game characters, cartoon characters. Vampires, Draculas.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned that.
Frankensteins and ghosts.
Right.
And pumpkins and goblins and all other scary costumes on Friday, October the 31st, 2014. When you go trick-or-treating, you need to be extra careful. Okay. There could be some bad kids doing bad things.
Uh-oh.
You don't want to know, because it's... Halloween night can be very dangerous. When you go for a walk, be very extra careful when you go for a walk on Halloween night, since it could be a lot of bad things going on, so you don't want to know.
I do.
And kids will be going trick-or-treating and getting lots of treats.
Hey, he's a little thin on specifics here. What kinds of bad – I mean, is he talking about like big kids stealing candy?
Oh,
is he talking
I got
– kids getting hit by cars? What's
no,
he talking about?
I got murder out of that.
You did?
Yeah.
No, you didn't get murder.
Yeah. Yeah. Frankie's warning us to be careful about murder.
I didn't get
murder.
Well,
Allie's convinced she's going to get murdered every day.
Is that just an Allie thing?
I think it is.
I didn't get murdered.
He also is giving very few specifics on how we should be very careful on Halloween night. He's not exactly, you know, bringing it home for the kids. Like, if I'm a kid and I'm going, all right, I'm going to listen to Frankie, I'm going to take his advice. What does he mean? Am I supposed to go with a flashlight? Am I supposed to go with an adult? What am I supposed to do? Infuriatingly few details, Frankie.
On a Halloween night, just remember, on Friday, October the 31st, 2014, Halloween night, be very extra careful when you go trick-or-treating, everyone.
All right. Okay, bring it home, Frankie.
Since there could be a lot of bad things on Halloween night, so you'll be very careful.
Careful, right. Halloween night, bad people,
got
be careful.
I don't want to know about bad things at all.
I don't blame you.
Make sure everyone to be very careful on Halloween night.
Okay.
Just remember,
right.
Friday, October the 31st, 2014 is a Halloween night. Best luck yet. Be very careful right, when you go trick-or-treating.
Okay, right.
Take care. Stay safe.
All right.
Be safe on Halloween night.
Thank you, Frankie McDonald. Great advice. Great advice for everybody this week.
Didn't mention weather once.
No. It wasn't about the weather, man. It was about saving kids'
lives.
But
if you're a weatherman, don't you throw it in? By the way,
you still care about humans, Kevin.
Right. I'm saying don't you want to let them know what the weather's going to be like?
No.
If your primary job is a weatherman?
This is more important, way more important than the
weather.
Okay.
I misunderstood. My bad.
Something bigger than Frankie, and he recognizes that.
Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Well, I didn't notice you there, son. You do not have a lot of charisma.
Last-minute costume advice on the program today. We have the movie beat because it's Friday. Speaking of Friday, it's R.J. Bell from Las Vegas giving his NFL picks for the week. We have Bean Makes Us Guess.
Oh, it's a good one. Halloween edition today.
We have our friend David Koechner, who is in the Scout's Guide to the Zombie Apocalypse on the program today. And we have your tickets for Spectre as well, which opens, I believe, a week from today.
I think that's right.
I want to say... we also have the owner of the dog that one of our phone ops kidnapped yesterday.
Well, she saved.
Tomato, tomato. I'm not positive.
Okay.
Because she came, she showed up here with a dog.
That wasn't hers.
That wasn't hers.
And no receipt.
Right.
Well, the dog was just missing from its owner.
Uh-huh. Right. That was the story she concocted when it was discovered that she had stolen the dog. I think Kevin's onto something here.
Were you there when it ran away?
I was not.
I think Tatiana stole the dog.
I don't think
Thank
she did.
God the owner, by the way, had the wherewithal to track down Tatiana, that thief. I hope she's going to press charges.
I don't think you guys are getting it.
We're going to talk to her today. We're going to make sure she's pressing charges.
Absolutely.
That's our goal.
Seriously, you have to punish that awful woman who stole your dog from the parking lot.
You want her just to keep doing that all willy-nilly, Allie? No, you don't.
Jesus, why are you rewarding crime?
What kind of anarchist society are you into? Crazy. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beat next. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's Kevin and Bean Show at 5:54.
Come on. Now that means Halloween, right? When you hear Dead Man's Party, come on.
Yep.
Yep. Hey, speaking of Danny Elfman, you know he's in town this weekend at the Hollywood Bowl doing the Nightmare Before Christmas. Rob, you explained it so well yesterday. Blah. This event for people who are confused as to what it is. What happens?
Well, Danny Elfman is backed by a full orchestra. And he performs all of the music from Nightmare Before Christmas live to picture while they're showing the motion picture. You get to hear Danny perform the music live.
And he sings the songs from the film at the same time, right? He kind of sings those along with what's happening on
the
screen.
By perform
well.
Live, is that
by
kind
performing
of what I mean?
It's not just the orchestra. It's Danny Elfman actually is backed singing. By an orchestra, and he's performing the music from the movie.
But who sings?
That's what the music from the movie is. It's him singing the songs.
But who sings?
So you got it right, Allie? You got it right, Kevin?
Yeah, I got that, yeah.
Because a lot of times these events happen where it'll just be the orchestra playing. But in this one, there's actually also live singing
the orchestra plays when it's just orchestral music, like a soundtrack. Right. But in a song-filled musical, performing the music means singing the songs.
I think it's awesome. I'm sorry you disagree. I think it's going to be great.
I agreed and explained it.
Here's my point.
Bean understood it before that exchange. He knows what's going on.
My point is that Danny Elfman is going to be at the
Hollywood Bowl
this weekend, and we have tickets to give away this morning in the front row, ladies and gentlemen, to see that event. In the front row on Sunday, plus a meet and greet with the great Danny Elfman himself. Kevin, how are we going to do this? How are we going to do the giveaway today?
We are going to play This Is Halloween at some point during the show today.
This is Halloween. This is Halloween.
When you hear that, be the first caller, and you will win those tickets. It's going to come up between now and 10 o'clock.
That's awesome. This is Halloween this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph is here now. It's Friday morning. Time for the Showbiz Beat. What's happening?
You explained it so well, Ralph, but let me over-explain it again after you've already said it. I'm just all wound up about daylight savings time.
Standard time.
That's his new thing. Like, that's going to work. It's standard time.
He's so upset about standard time, he even hear me say the S on savings.
He did, but...
how bent out of shape he is about standard time.
I'm not fighting that as hard, because now I'm working on the other one at the same time. I have to conserve my energy. I've got two fronts at the same time.
And you think everybody's going to start saying standard time?
Well, I think only if they want to be right. They don't want to be laughed at. Look like fools.
No one's laughing.
No one's laughing. Heard you guys talking about that dog's life I saved yesterday.
Yes, Ralph.
You're welcome, America. Which made me think of this little factoid that I picked up this morning. Some people, bad people, people who have Satan living inside them, dress their pets up for Halloween. Put costumes on their pets.
Yeah.
To celebrate the holiday of Halloween.
I'm trying to fight that too, by the way. I have very little energy for it, but I'm 100% with you, Ralph.
He's worn out.
Oh, I'm sorry.
From the
you're spent.
Woo.
You had to get out of bed this morning.
I had to stay standing twice.
Stay standing up. That's a full-time job right there.
I'm okay. But you're right. If you care about your pets, don't dress them up. Period.
Don't put any sort of clothing on them at all. But this is what bowled me over. What do you think the expenditure from Americans on pet costumes is? This is from Americans, mind you, just the contiguous United States.
Millions and millions and millions of dollars.
That is not a guess.
Not a very good guess
That's
at
just
all.
It's you saying a word over and over again.
I'm going to say lots and lots.
I agree with Kevin.
Okay, we've got millions and millions. We've got lots and lots. Anyone else have a guess? A whole bunch. Uh-huh. Okay.
All right.
Tons of dough. Those are all excellent guesses, and you're all very close to the actual number.
Millions and millions.
20 million.
Oh, no. I'd say
way higher.
You don't get to say oh no when your initial guess is millions and millions, because 20 million is certainly millions
it
and
is.
Millions.
I'm going to say 160 million.
Wow.
Bean?
I don't think it's that. I don't think it's that much. I think it's a lot. I'll say 75.
Chip?
I'll say 50 million.
$350 million in the United States of America spent on pet costumes.
We need to build a wall.
We need to build a wall. We do. Between us and the pet costume people.
The pet
people.
Costume people?
$350 million American dollars spent on pet costumes.
Well, I guess we've solved all other problems.
Yes, we have. Glad everyone that money's going to a good use.
Everyone has food. Everyone has medicine.
Wow.
Everyone has an education. All of those are done.
See?
Wow.
Circling the drain. This country's just circling the drain. Just sit
back. I don't want to know about bad things at all.
I don't want to know about bad things at all either, Frankie, but this is bad. Screw you, America. How much do you think is spent on children's costumes?
Oof, a lot.
I will have security drag you out of here, lady.
I'm going to say...
You want me to call security?
No.
You want me to call security?
No.
All right, then.
I'm
going to
say
leave.
$700 million.
$700 million.
Allie's just shaking her head no, like she knows.
I'm going to say $1.1
billion. Mm-hmm. $1 billion.
Oh.
Wow. $1.2 billion spent on adult costumes. Adults are outspending children to dress up for Halloween now in America.
Well, there are more of them.
But you understand, Halloween is not a grown-up holiday. It's for kids to go get candy. At least it used to be, back when America wasn't insane.
Right.
Dressing up their pets.
Ralph longs for the good old days of President Eisenhower.
Not Eisenhower. No, we don't have to go that far back. Just, I don't know. Just, there must have been some time when everyone wasn't crazy, right?
I don't think that there was a time like that.
There's no question that Halloween has become a much bigger holiday than it was when we were kids in terms of the amount of parties, the amount of promotion, the amount of events and things like
I want everyone to enjoy themselves.
Sure. Yeah.
But it's still primarily for the kids, right?
Well, it is. But I mean, K-Rock has a party and a bunch of different people have parties at their houses where adults dress up. And I would imagine it costs a lot more to put those outfits together, don't you think?
Not if you're Dave.
Not if you're Dave.
Dave Sanchez, the King of Mexico.
That is true.
Still pulling out his pizza T-shirt. Oh, look at me. I am pizza.
No, it's not a T-shirt.
It's just a T-shirt with a piece of pizza on it, David. You're really not a piece of pizza.
Not a T-shirt.
Yes, I am. Look at me. There's pizza on my shirt.
Not a shirt.
It's a shirt with pizza on it.
Hey, Dave.
It's a sack.
Hey, Dave, is
You're
it pizza?
A sack.
It is a pizza, but it's not
is it pizza?
A T-shirt.
Is it pizza?
Pizza ribs.
Is it a shirt with pizza on it?
Is there pizza?
Don't you like pizza?
I love pizza. Is there any on your costume?
Yes.
Muggs came in today, and I congratulated him on his homeless guy costume.
Yeah, it looks good.
I didn't realize he wasn't wearing one.
Oh, no.
Just how he looked, yeah.
Now I feel bad.
Yep, it's kind of sad.
We're running out of time. I'm over time, actually. But really quickly, since we're talking about adult costumes. Top 10. I'll save it.
Save it.
I'll save it.
Top 10.
They asked people, what are you dressing up as this year? And
all right.
The adults and kids both said what their top 10 costumes
were. Gives us a little time.
We'll talk about it later. Think about it. Today's celebrity birthday is Henry Winkler, 70 years old today. The Fonz is 70.
And still awesome?
Still awesome.
Still awesome.
Yep. Although, sadly, he can't get his thumbs up anymore. Yeah, I just take Viagra. If your thumb is going A for longer than 4 hours, please consult a medical professional. Gavin Rossdale, he is 50 years old today. Nia Long, she's 45. And Matthew Morrison, you know him, of course, as Mr. Schuster from Glee, 37 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
By the way, Casey, who has her finger on the button here on the Kevin DeBede Show because of Kevin's potty mouth.
How dare you?
Is telling me how much he hates that song.
Oh! Who hates that song?
No one hates Bow Wow Wow. Screw you, Casey.
She's wrong, right?
Yes.
Oh, that's communism is what that is.
It's communism. Okay.
What the hell?
It's like hating candy itself, hating that song.
Correct.
Exactly. That's right.
They're one and the same. Right.
Hey, keep on listening for Nightmare Before Christmases. This is Halloween when you hear it. Be the first caller through on the Kevin DeBede Show and win front row tickets and meet and greet at the Hollywood Bowl to see the Nightmare Before Christmas this weekend. That's coming up at some point during the show today. It is Friday. Rob is here. That means it's time for the Movie Beat.
In a world, someone has been watching. One man who risked everything.
Sorry, I have not seen any of your films.
Without seeing the movies. Ralph Garman's Movie Beat. Welcome to my world.
I don't know why. I have no explanation for it, but every time I hear I Want Candy, I think of Richard Blade. I don't know what the connection is.
Richard Blade.
Maybe because he played it back in the day, whatever. But I didn't. I didn't even live in California when he was playing it. But for some reason, I hear that song, I just think of him.
I want candy. That's Bow Wow Wow. Now let's go diving.
I don't know. I always just think of him for some reason. All right, let's take a look at the movies. Not a lot new in theaters this weekend. Halloween weekend, traditionally a weekend that movie studios stay away from when releasing their new films because parties and trick-or-treating and what have you cut into the time folks have to go to the cineplexes. So just four new movies this weekend, two of them in limited release. One of those is Carter High. This is the film based on the true story about Carter High School in Dallas, Texas, back in the 80s. Was a football powerhouse. This is the story of four athletes whose off-the-field activities cost them their future. Behaviors have consequences, people. Let's never forget that. Vivica A. Fox stars along with Charles S. Dutton and other people who have middle initials. Here are some clips from the trailer of Carter High.
Carter has, in fact, been forced to forfeit their final three games due to an ineligible player.
You say it passed. His report card shows it passed.
These young boys should not be punished for some grown man mistakes.
Nothing worth having is going to be easy.
I think I'm losing them.
Now you go on out there and you defend your boys.
Attention, faculty and students. I've just been informed by the Dallas superintendent that our football team has been reinstated into the playoffs.
Hey! We're all going to die tonight.
No, one's going to
die. Why are we going to die? It's not scary.
Come on, Kevin.
Sorry, I wasn't
an uplifting story about life and love. We all learn an important lesson about responsibility and being there for each other.
That's what I meant.
No, man. Do you feel like you've seen that same movie 100 times
yes.
without ever having seen it?
It is the same one, right? just keep re-releasing it?
Brand new film. Freaks of Nature opens up this weekend. This is appropriate for a Halloween weekend. In the town of Dilford, humans, vampires, and zombies are all living in peace. Until the alien apocalypse arrived, right?
Right.
Now, three teenagers, one human teenager, one vampire, and one zombie teenager, have to team up to try to get rid of the aliens. Because everyone hates aliens, right?
Right.
Right.
And this is based on a true story?
This is not based on a true story, no. Nicholas Braun, my buddy Nick Braun, stars in this along with Mackenzie Davis and Dennis Leary. Here's some clips from the trailer of Freaks of Nature.
Come with me if you want to live.
The zombies are leaving. Why won't I pass out? They ripped off my arm.
arm! That was my bowling arm!
Oh!
It's the end of the freaking world.
I guess there's just one thing to do.
Cut!
Damn, that's a close shave.
What? I feel very uncomfortable saying this, but,
we may have to breed.
Is he looking at me?
Looks fun, this movie.
That's my bowling arm.
Looking for a Halloween movie, this may be the one to check out.
I like it.
Along with, speaking of zombies, Scout's Guide to the Zombie Apocalypse. Ty Sheridan, Logan Miller, Joey Morgan, Sarah Dumont, and of course Dave Koechner, all star in this film about three scouts who are on the eve of their last campout, and they discover the true meaning of friendship when they have to save their town from a zombie outbreak.
Like you do.
You get the zombie badge, I think, at the end of that, when it's all said and done. Here's some clips from the trailer of Scout's Guide to the Zombie Apocalypse.
What is going on?
How do you think everyone's eating each other?
Guys, the police are gone. The military, they're not coming either.
But tonight, we're going to show them what being a real scout's all about. We're just going to stand here, and we're going to go save the world.
That was a really good speech, Ben.
It's Kelly to Rogers.
He looks like crap.
He set him on fire.
He tried to eat me.
What are you going to do? A guy tries to eat you. You set him on fire.
It's fair.
And lastly, the only movie I think not about zombies this weekend is Our Brand is Crisis. Kevin, politics.
Oh, you know I love it.
I know you love a good political satire.
I sure do.
Well, Sandra Bullock, Billy Bob Thornton, Anthony Mackie. Just a great cast in this film produced by, who's that good-looking fella? The one who's married to that smart lady.
Smart lady.
You know.
George Clooney?
Yeah, him.
Oh.
Yeah. This is about an American woman who is...
You forgot George Clooney's name?
I was just goofing.
Oh, okay.
Just playing. American woman who is, her job is to get political campaigns on track and to win. And so... She's fallen on hard times. She's looking for a new gig. She is sent to the war-torn lands of South America to help install a new leader. But she is threatened by a long-term rival of hers who always seems to be running campaigns against her. Sandra Bullock is that lady. Billy Bob Thornton is her rival. By all accounts, this is funny, smart, entertaining. Here is a scene between Billy Bob and Sandra Bullock as they catch up after not seeing each other for a while from Our Brand is Crisis.
So what are you doing here? I thought you retired or gave up or something.
No, not retired. Working.
Yeah? Okay.
You're lending a hand.
Mm, nice. Enjoying this dog and pony show?
Not one for crowds.
People suck, don't they?
Yeah, sometimes.
Yeah. You look tired. You okay?
I think so. I think I'm good. Why?
I don't know. You just look a little beat.
What happened to your hair?
You still got a great sense of humor.
I love these two.
You're all going to die tonight.
No one's dying, Kevin.
It's Halloween. What the hell?
I know. We did 19 zombie movies. This is one about politics.
This is grown-ups talking, though, and that's boring, Ralph.
Oh,
correct.
That's stupid. Where's the candy? I'm going to look at my cargo shorts. I think I have a piece of beef in there.
Nothing.
I do have a piece of beef in there.
Okay.
That's what you're saying.
Miss me. I think I have an old tuna sandwich I could eat while you people are talking about stupid politics. There's something for everybody this weekend. So if you need a break, if you need to come down, if you're high on Snickers and you need to relax, maybe you want to go out and check one of these flicks out. I am Ralph Garman. I walk the movie beat.
All that you know is at an end.
That was Ralph Garman. Ralph Garman. Movie B.
By the way, Dead Souls, very appropriate here on the Kevin and Bean Show Halloween weekend. I'm just going to say, for the record, I don't think we play enough Nine Inch Nails in general.
Agreed.
Right? So how great is it to hear that band? And before that, Don't Fear the Reaper from the Blue Oyster Cult.
Got a little bone to pick with the programming department. Would it kill you every once in a while to play a little Fog Hat?
Well, I don't know that we got time for Fog Hat, but we did get the BOC on for you here today for Halloween. It is Friday morning. A lot of people are out there thinking one thing, which is, oh my God, the party's tonight or the party's tomorrow night, and I don't have a costume yet. What am I going to do?
Yeah. Yeah. So you got to scramble. You got to take whatever's available.
Yep. You go look at your closet. You go, all right, what do I have that I can turn into a thing? There are a lot of great suggestions online, by the way. For instance, if you've got a nice, retro outfit, hey, I'm on Mad Men. I'm dressed as Mad Men. All you need is some sweatpants, some Timberlands, and a gray turtleneck sweater. You can be Drake. That's one of the ideas that's floating around there. A lot of people, as a result of that Hotline Bling video, a lot of people going as Drake this year. Allie, if you're not Cookie Lion from Empire, I'm going to be very disappointed.
Right.
All you need is a tight dress and some faux fur and a big old hairdo, and you'll be Cookie.
Done.
But we thought we'd go to a professional and get some advice for the Kevin and Bean listeners who may be scrambling a little bit this weekend. And we have Ryan McNeil on. He is from Costume World, and he's going to help you last-minute listeners. Hey, Ryan, happy Halloween. Welcome to the show.
Happy Halloween to you guys, too. How are you?
Very good. Thank you.
So as big as Halloween is, and as you know, everybody knows when it is and that it's coming up, a lot of people are still surprised when the weekend finally gets here, right?
Yeah. It turns out a lot of people are lazy.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people are procrastinators.
Right.
Too long to get their costumes.
Mm-hmm.
And sadly, you know, all the popular costumes this year, many of them are sold out. I mean, it's hard to find a Caitlyn Jenner costume, for example, now in stores. At Costume mm-hmm. World, we're one of the largest online retailers for costumes, so we try to get everyone to buy early. But the fact is, a lot of people are invited to parties last minute or just have waited too long, and they need to come up with simple, easy costumes that you can just throw together in the last minute.
Well, that's great. That's why we wanted to have you on, sir. What do you have to recommend for our listeners?
Well, a real simple costume. You can just go out on Halloween night and go house to house, knocking on people's doors, handing out money, and you can say you're Ryan Seacrest.
Just a little knock-knock live there, huh?
The only problem with that is people lose interest rather early, and they will stop paying attention to you.
Oh.
You can get yourself a white T-shirt, a blue Sharpie.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Just write the number 12 on your T-shirt and go around letting air out of people's tires and say you're Tom Brady.
Not funny. Not even that's a good costume.
That's a great costume.
That's actually pretty good. Yeah,
pretty
I like
simple.
That one.
Pretty
yeah.
simple.
It's a good one.
You know, political costumes are big this year. A lot of people dressing as Donald Trump this year, men and
sure.
women alike. Hillary Clinton's pretty simple. If you have a pantsuit, you can be her. But a lot of people are missing out on the Bernie Sanders costume, which is pretty simple.
Oh.
You just grab yourself a white wig and some glasses, and then as the kids are collecting the candy, go to the kids who have a lot of candy, take it away from them, and then give it to the kids who don't have any candy while you're screaming candy wealth inequality.
I like it.
A lot of couples are going to parties together, and, you know, one or the other are very lazy. Maybe perhaps they're going to a party begrudgingly. They're not necessarily excited about it. If you're a guy who, you know, don't necessarily want to participate in the party, what you do is you get your girlfriend or wife a gorilla mask, and then you just sleep at the party like you're in a coma, and you can be Chloe and Lamar Odom.
Oh, wow. Too soon. Too soon, Ryan.
The only part of that trick trick for that the costume is you have to be hard to wake up. You can't really just be, you can't be too awake. Right. Or the situation's reversed. If your lady is lazy and you want to go to a party, just go with her, let her sleep at the party, put a drink in her hand, and you can be Bill Cosby and his date.
Oh, wow.
I mean, you're going for it.
Wow.
Two other popular costumes this year, if you're lazy and you're hard pressed for a last minute costume, we have the Bean Baxter costume.
Oh, come on.
You just have to carry around a carton of expired chocolate milk screaming standard time, standard time. And the Kevin Ryder costume is also very popular this year. You wear something green while handing out heart shaped box of chocolates screaming, "Remember our vets, it's Merry Christmas."
Oh. You may be confused, it sounds like.
That guy has no idea what holiday it is.
How dare you.
Well, 6.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It is the Kevin and Bean Show at 5 minutes till 7 o'clock. Yes, we are playing.
We came, we saw, we kicked its ass.
We are playing all Halloween music today.
Blah. Speaking of Ghostbusters, Ralph, you'll know the answer to this question. With the new movie coming next year, the Ghostbusters reboot, are they going to reboot the theme song as well and have a new artist record it?
I don't know.
Okay. RJ Bell talks
NFL.
Who's
it going to be, though, Ralph?
I thought you might know.
You're
you read a lot about movies.
Neighbor. I've not heard what they're going to do with the music, but I'm guessing they will come up with a brand new theme for this song. For this
oh, you movie. Don't think they'll just remake the old
I do not believe they will, but that's just based on nothing.
Okay,
just
okay.
Sheer guessing.
That's the kind of expertise I was looking for,
well,
so I appreciate that.
Maybe you should check with me before you ask those questions.
We'll talk NFL weekend number 8 with our friend R.J. Bell from Las Vegas coming up just after 7. First, though, the Showbiz Beat on a Friday.
You were talking about costumes minutes ago. Well, the National Retail Federation surveyed people on what costumes they would be wearing this year. Adults, what do you think the number one costume for adults is?
Donald Trump?
No.
Oh.
Political costumes, 10th on the list, by the way. Hmm. So although it may get a lot of press and they may be selling a lot of costumes along that vein because it's the new costume, people want to grab it, whatever. When people are dressing up to go out to their parties, whatever, adults anyway, they tend to go with some of the tried and true traditionals more than the hot costume of the minute.
All right.
I'm going to guess then that it is not a particular personality. It's a genre costume, and I'll say vampire.
You're very close. Vampire was 7th on the list.
Which?
Witch, number one. Let's face it, more ladies dress.
How many guesses do you get in a row? Fellas. Here, Bean. Cheater.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't know we were going
around
the room.
I guess you're Tom Brady. I guess that's
no
who you are.
Anything. I'm sorry.
You're going as Tom Brady, cheater.
Ghosts?
No ghost in the top 10. Can you believe that?
Any other guesses, Bean?
You got something, say it.
Zombie? Police officer.
Zombie was 4th. Police officer was 9th, tied with doctor and or nurse.
Mm. Okay. Firefighter.
Not on the list.
Waka Flocka Flame.
Waka Flocka Flame, not on the list also. Mm. Second was animal. Any kind of animal. You're a sheep, you're a wolf, you're a dog, you're a rabbit.
You're a sheep.
You're a sheep.
How about a pizza?
No, the pizza's not on the list. You and your damn pizza t-shirt. Oh, look at me. I have pizza on my shirt. I am pizza.
A devil.
Devil not on the list.
What?
I know. I would have thought devil would have been right up there.
A hooker.
Oh.
10th is the wench / tart / vixen category, which I think hooker would fall into that category.
All right.
That's in a tie with political costumes. At
number how about a sports figure? Football player, basketball, baseball?
Nope.
Okay.
Third on the list, Batman. Third.
That makes sense.
Number 5, any character from the Star Wars universe, apparently. 5th was any Star Wars character. Number 6,
Pirates.
And number 8 was any other superhero.
So, this is a weak list. They didn't do much work on this list.
Batman was 3rd, and then all other superheroes came in at number 8. I think it's a pretty good list. It's pretty spot on.
But
what are they leaving out?
You're just throwing in all superheroes. That's not much of a list. At one number?
Well,
I'm just saying.
Kevin would like a breakdown to see how popular Superman is.
I'm saying if you're
going to
do a catch-all, these are just categories. I couldn't come up with that.
Who's going to be Daredevil? Well, that's what it is. It's categories of costumes that people are wearing.
I don't like it, and I'm denying it.
What are you going as this year? Right, so shut up! You guys are playing Halloween music, one of my favorites. Are we going to play Thriller anytime later today?
We probably are. Not sure yet.
I hope so. I love that song. Michael Jackson's Thriller, of course, with Vincent Price doing the legendary voiceover. Terrorize y'all's neighborhoods. Love that part. But the people at Barack Dubs, you may have seen their videos on YouTube, they take Barack Obama's speeches, and then they pull out bits and pieces of his actual words, and they put them together and edit them together into a funny song. They have, for the holiday of Halloween, put together Thriller. President Barack Obama singing Michael Jackson's Thriller, thanks to the gang at Barack Dubs. Here's a little taste.
I love you back. It's close to midnight, and something evil's lurking in the dark.
That was natural.
Under the moon light. You see a sight that almost stopped your heart. You try to scream. But terror takes a sound before you make it. You start to freeze as horror looks you right between the eyes. You're paralyzed. Because this is Thriller. Thriller night. And no one's gonna save you from the beast I'm about to strike. You know it's Thriller. You're fighting for your life inside a killer thriller tonight.
He can sing, that president.
Sure can.
Does good work.
So natural.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Actor Henry Winkler is 70 years old today. Singer Gavin Rosdale turns 50. Nia Long turns 45. And actor Matthew Morrison of Glee fame is 37. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Well, Halloween music theme today on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Devil horns for AC/DC, by the way, right?
Right.
That's in the category of songs I want people's alarm to go off with K-Rock on the radio. They're going to wake up to Highway to Hell. Hey, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. Here Friday, our friend David Koechner, the very fine actor champ from Anchorman. It's got a new movie in theaters this weekend. We'll talk to him 1 hour from right now. First, though, it's RJ Bell time. Hit it, Steve.
Cause he's RJ Bell. RJ Bell.
RJ Bell is RJ in Vegas on Twitter. Pregame.com is the website. Pregame.com is the exclusive odds provider for the Associated Press. And he joins us Friday mornings at this time on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hello, Mr. Bell. How are you, sir?
Oh, feeling better. You know, the thing about gamblers is when you lose, and we had a little losing streak, even though we're having a really good season.
Right.
Once you win, once you break that streak, you feel like eating again. You want to maybe take the wife out to dinner, take a walk. But prior to that, you're kind of grumpy. You don't want any interaction. So
sure.
My wife's happy we went 2-1.
You just lay on the floor and cry?
No. You just kind of get – you're surly. You know, you're just mad at everything.
Look, a lot of people make wagers, and they win or lose, and it's a private matter. But you are really putting yourself out there by broadcasting it to the nation. You know what I mean? I mean, you're out there for everybody to make fun of. And as you have pointed out, you definitely do hear from our listeners on Twitter. Hey, before we get into your picks for this week, RJ, I just want to ask you one non-football question, and that is Las Vegas all a buzz about that baseball bat that guy put down in the first week of the season? He put $100,000 on the Kansas City Royals to win the World Series this year, and now he's two games away from that. He's going to win $2.5 million if it comes through. What are people saying about that bet?
Yeah, you know, it's great because what's great is the social media allows people, you know, to see such things, where if this was even 20 years ago, there might have been one article in one newspaper about it. But now this kind of stuff goes viral, and it's good for the city. I mean, obviously the sports books win in the long run, so I never feel bad for them. I'm a player, so I'm always rooting for the player, and I'm rooting them on.
Are there a lot of people every year who come to Las Vegas and put down some amount of money for their team to take it all that year, no matter how bad the odds are?
Yes, because what we're talking about is future bets. So the Cubs, for example, are an example of a team where pretty much every year there's a ton of Chicago people come to town. They put $20, $50 on the Cubs, let's say, and then they've got that physical ticket. And that's one of the advantages of Vegas, right? You bet online, it's in your account. You're probably going to get paid if you win. But if you bet in Vegas, you get a ticket. Now you're back in Chicago at the poker game, at the track, at the bar. You get to show that ticket, and I think people really enjoy that. And then once they win, eventually with the Cubs, I think they probably take a picture of it, then go cash it.
Of course. Yes.
Plus, if you got a crappy team, you get better odds.
But the Cubs, for example, because of the large amount of fandom that they have, so many Cubs fans, the odds usually aren't as good as you think they should be, because if you actually look at the results, Cubs should be, you know, let's say bigger underdogs, but because so many people like to bet the Cubs, it brings the odds down a little bit.
Gotcha. Very interesting. All right, let's talk about winning. Let's talk about making our listeners some money. We got three games we're going to look at this week real quick. First up is the underdog special. I have to tell you, I have not paid much attention to Tampa Bay. I don't know how good they are. They're playing the Falcons. What's going on?
Yeah, Tampa Bay plus 7.5 underdog special. Atlanta's overrated. All right, right. I mean, their record is good. Vegas has them only 1 point better than average. Tampa, on the other hand, is underrated. 2-4 record, but they have the 9th best yardage differential in the NFL. Now, what that is, how many yards do the Bucs gain? How many yards do their opponents gain? 9th best is Tampa Bay, but their problem has been close games. Under coach Lovie Smith, in games decided by 6 points or less, they've lost 9 of 10, only 1 win out of 10 games. But that limitation is not a problem when you're getting over a touchdown. And with a pro bettor, there's two things you think about: how good a team is and how successful is that team in a given situation. And for Tampa, we know, not so successful in close games. But when we're getting over a touchdown, that doesn't matter. underdog special, Tampa Bay, +7.5.
Very interesting. All right. Frustrating season for the Dallas Cowboys. Obviously still Romo-less. They're playing against the Seattle Seahawks, and that one's in Seattle, right?
No, actually, this is in Dallas, which I think really speaks to how much value there is. Best bet for us on the Cowboys, a 6-point underdog in Dallas at home. Seattle, not a good road team in general. And there's a few perceptions here, and then there's reality. The perception is Romo still out, big problems for the Cowboys. But last week, Matt Castle took over, and he played much better than the other quarterback, Brandon Whedon, and they're actually able to use the whole playbook with Castle, so that's a big advantage for Dallas. Number two, the perception is Cowboys have a bad defense, and in the last few years they have, but now they've had some key additions. Greg Hardy, he's been in the news for some wrong things, but the guy's a big improvement. They've had other guys come back from injury, so Dallas, the reality is, has at least an average defense. Last perception, Seattle is the team that has been in two Super Bowls last 2 years and won one championship. But this isn't the same team, especially on the offensive line. Russell Wilson has been sacked more than any quarterback in the NFL. And also on the defensive line, they're very thin, and that's causing real problems in the second halves of these games. When you combine up these misperceptions, there's more than enough value on Dallas at home, +6, to be our best bet.
What about the fact that the Seahawks fans are all dicks?
How dare you?
That's just icing on the cake when you win the game.
Well, there's certainly no worse fourth quarter team, that's for sure. If these games ended after three quarters, the Seahawks would be undefeated this season, by the way. But it doesn't work that way. All right, in the big game, this is the battle of the undefeated Broncos versus the Packers. This one's going to be, it sounds tough to call to me, but RJ, I know you figured it out.
Yeah, well, maybe. The big game pick is Broncos +3. Now listen, we got an undefeated Denver team. The perception is, oh, top team. Vegas has a different opinion. They think Green Bay is much, much better. That's why Green Bay is a favorite on the road. Green Bay favored by 3 in some spots. And make sure you get to 3 with Denver. That's a key number. This is the biggest home underdog Peyton Manning's been since 2008. So it's been a long time since he's been this big of a dog. Both these teams have a very strong defense. In fact, they're 1-2 in the league, giving up the least points. Wow. We know the offense for Green Bay is really good. They got Aaron Rodgers. And here's where the problem is for Denver. Manning's just not the same as he was. He's gotten older. Right now, Manning is the 31st ranked passer in the NFL. There's only 32 teams. That's why Denver's been downgraded so much. But here's what the market is missing, is they're not accounting fully for Green Bay on the road. If you go back to the start of last season, they're only 6-5 straight up, and they've been outscored on the road. So this is an amazingly good home team, the Packers, not so good on the road. Green Bay is a little bit better, but they're not good enough on the road to be a 3-point favorite. That's why our big pick is Broncos +3.
All right, recapping RJ's picks for the weekend. Underdog special is Tampa Bay +7.5 at the Atlanta Falcons. The best bet is the Cowboys +6. That one's in Dallas versus the Seahawks. And the big game is Broncos +3 versus the Green Bay Packers. On Twitter at RJ in Vegas. The website is pregame.com, the exclusive odds provider for the Associated Press. RJ, have a great week. Happy Halloween. We'll talk to you next time.
Thank you.
We live in a whole world of zombies these days, don't we? David Koechner's in a new zombie movie. We'll talk to him at 8 o'clock. That's the Cranberries singing zombie. And by the way, speaking of the music that we're playing for Halloween weekend, when you hear Danny Elfman singing This Is Halloween from Nightmare Before Christmas, be the first caller through on the program this morning, and you will win front row tickets for Sunday night at the Hollywood Bowl for the Nightmare Before Christmas live event, and also you get to meet Danny Elfman himself. That will come up between now and 10 o'clock.
Time for the Afro line, 323-520-AFRO, 24 hours a day. Leave a message on any topic.
Dean, I just want you to know, I go out of my way now to kill spiders because it bugs you. I go to my neighbor's houses. I kill them on the way. I go to my neighbor's houses and ask them if they need spiders killed.
No reason for that, sir.
This guy has a joke for Bean.
Hey, Bean, have you heard the one about the shut the f*** up?
I have not heard that one. How does it go?
Here's a call for Bean.
Guess what Sunday is? Daylight savings time.
Nope, standard time. Here's a call for Bean.
Did you guys know it's been 1 year that Taylor Swift's 1989 album has been on the charts? You know what that makes it? Mary Taylor Swiftmas! Yay! Oh, I just love that cheese sizzle, right, Bean?
Finally, a caller that makes sense.
So you're saying I shouldn't be sexy Bean for Halloween?
Oh, no, you absolutely should.
Allie, 1 year, many years ago, at a K-Rock Halloween party, Kevin came as me.
Oh.
Do you remember Kevin?
I do.
He had overalls and something to do with he had like a Tyra Banks button on back when she was my girlfriend, and you were carrying a Teletubby around and just all sorts of nonsense in your costume.
Yeah, all sorts of nonsense that's real in your life. Correct?
Well, maybe at that time, yeah.
Oh, Kevin and Bean, you got what I need. Would you say I'm just a listener? Would you say I'm just a listener? Oh, Kevin and Bean.
Huh.
It's a little half-hearted, but thank you.
That was a choice.
What if I were to tell you that this listener mixed these two elements together and quite well?
Hello.
Hello.
It's me.
Wow.
I was wondering if after all these years of life.
Hello.
That is outstanding.
That's pretty well done, right?
I would like Omar to recreate that as
Agreed.
Well, so we have that to play. That's very funny, sir. Congratulations.
I really hate pumpkin spice almost as much as I hate Halloween spooks. However, if Allie's going to put it all over her...
Yeah, I did say that the other day.
So?
I mean, call me.
We'll give out your number a little later, if that's cool, yeah.
Little chip, better cuts are going to happen. Little chip spooks behind the console. Little chip has bad taste in teens. The dolphin, I wish that the children could see her, but they can't because she's 2'3", and little chip always breaks the pants up. Ooh.
He's got a point. Many of them.
He's got a lot of points.
Hey, Kevin and Bean. Everybody's so preoccupied as to when you're going to play Halloween Spooks or Two Eyeballs. Why don't you guys play the real horror song? Ebola! Ebola, Ebola! Don't touch it! Don't eat a monkey! Dangerous! Hit it, Steve!
Ebola! Ebola! Don't touch your friend! Don't touch it!
I gotta tell you, listeners can just call up and say, "Hit it, Steve." I mean, is that?
Did you? Did Steve hit it?
Yeah.
So yeah.
So I guess so. Yeah.
Steve serves many masters.
Here's a little Two Eyeballs for you.
Stupid songs are gonna happen, but you were nice because he was only 10 years old. It's two eyeballs outside my window. It's two eyeballs behind the trees. I wish that you could see that this song is not good for Halloween. It's two eyeballs outside my window pane.
You know, two eyeballs rolling around, and they're not in somebody's head. That's why they're scary. I was trying to do my own version of Thriller. I thought I could make scary songs. Yeah, I was always a musical person.
Wow. That's got a whole production going on in his head.
That was a recap of our interview with that dude.
Yep.
That did two eyeballs.
Yep.
Well played. Well played. 323-520-AFRO, 24 hours a day. Why wouldn't DJ Jazzy Jeff just wake up? Just wake up.
Seriously. Very frustrating. I'm with you. Very, very frustrating. Hey, it's Halloween and Halloween music all day long here on the Kevin DeBean Show on the world famous K-Rock. But right now, Bean makes us guess.
Bean makes us guess, yeah.
Ooh, ooh. Penis slapped.
Bean is a dick.
Pretty dope, man.
Just wanna tell ya.
I
am the dumbest human that ever lived.
Now it's time for B-Mix's Guess.
Yes.
Once again, I like to strongly protest that intro. I don't think it has anything to do with
we'll
what
make
we're
a
talking
note.
About here.
Mm-hmm. Noted.
Ralph Garman, you're going to love this B-Mix's Guess today because it is Halloween time and the list is going to be the greatest, let me phrase it the way they phrase it on hitfix.com, the best horror films of all time. Now, there are many lists. There are hundreds of lists online of the greatest and scariest horror movies of all time. But this one is a little unusual because this is a survey of over 100 people who make horror movies, all right, or are involved in the production of horror films. This is everybody from Guillermo del Toro to Clive Barker to Rob Zombie. Even Elvira got a vote. So they're putting their list together of the greatest horror movies of all time. There's a list of 100. There's a list of 100. We'll only try to nail down the top 10, all right, between the three of you guessing here today. Let's see if we can fill in the top 10 greatest horror movies of all time. Kevin, traditionally, you get to go first. What is your guess, please, sir?
Forrest Gump.
Oh, now, come on now.
Is it in there?
Don't. If you're not going to, then just don't.
The Exorcist.
Well, sure. The Exorcist number one,
thank
ladies
you.
And gentlemen, the scariest movie of all time. And I don't know. What do you guys think about that choice? I mean, it's
been
pretty
mine.
Great.
Mm-hmm. Would have been mine.
It is pretty great.
Genuinely terrifying, still to this day, holds up beyond belief.
I think so, too.
And when it was re-released in the 2000s, it held up and even garnered more fans, you know, from the people who hadn't seen it from back in the 70s. So that is number one. Kevin, you get a point. Ralph Garman, you're up next.
I'm trying to think like they think, however. So there's got to be some...
These are hardcore movie fans.
Hardcore movie fans. So I would, with that in mind, I would have to say Nosferatu.
That is an excellent guess. It is number 16 on the list.
Oh, come on!
Not in the top 10, but a good guess anyway.
Started the vampire. No vampire movie exists without that movie. I boycott.
You can't boycott.
Boycotting.
Imagine how much Kevin would hate that movie being in black and white and being a silent film.
Silent movie? Forget about it.
Dumb. Allie.
The Shining.
Number two. Well done. A point for Allie.
Poltergeist.
Poltergeist, Kevin, is number 14 on the list.
They didn't move the bodies.
No point, but an excellent guess as well.
Halloween.
Halloween is number seven. Ralph Garman is on the board. Well done.
Nightmare on Elm Street.
How about...
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Number 11. I'm sorry, just outside. Just outside the top 10. I have the top 25 in front of me, but again, it's a list of 100 altogether at hitfix.com if folks want to look. Kevin?
Jason X.
Stop it.
Honest to God, if you haven't seen Jason X, you must see that movie. That's my guess.
It's not
worst
horror movie of all time. All right, it's not on the list. I'm sorry.
All right, I'm going to try this again in the hopes of pulling in the hardcore movie fans and say Dracula.
Dracula is a fantastic guest. You can't
think you
can't
say
use that.
That
word.
You can't say that. Can't
well, it
that.
Is.
It is. You were right.
Well, then.
But you can't say well, it.
Then the truth is my defense, sir.
Then you need to tell Clive Barker and Guillermo del Toro and Rob Zombie and people like that who made the list, all right?
Ugh.
Alan McKay.
Friday the 13th.
Friday the 13th is another good guess that is, I'm
Come
sorry,
on.
Not in the top 10.
You know what this list is?
Don't say it. Don't say it. All right, so far we have number one, The Exorcist. We have number two, The Shining. We have, are those the only two we've gotten so far? We have
no,
one
Ralph
more?
Got one.
Number seven, whatever that was.
Halloween. Right.
Yeah, Halloween.
All right, so I think it's your guess, Kevin.
The Omen.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Kevin coming up with the Omen.
Well, luckily Chip is writing down all his answers for him. That's why it helps.
How dare you?
Not
what?
In the, not in the top 10?
I'm sorry.
Oh, this,
you know
this,
what this list is.
I'm going to write in the ear this list.
Look, it's very subjective. Any movie list is going to be subjective. I think, look, and you're going to have trouble arguing with the selections once you hear them.
I won't.
When I read them
I'll
at the end.
Argue easily. Trust me.
Okay.
Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Ooh,
that is
yes.
Number three
nice.
On their list. The 1974 classic. Allie, what is the score currently?
Kevin 1, Ralph 2, Allie 1.
All right, and it is
Game
Allie's
over.
Guess.
Young Frankenstein.
No. I think that may be more comedy than
well,
scary.
Well, it's top right. 10 movie ever.
Okay.
One
okay.
more
not
time
the
around
list.
The horn.
Not the list we're dealing
okay.
with.
And then we will reveal. Kevin, your final guess, please.
Night of the Living Dead.
Oh,
is number
shit.
Nine.
Well done.
Excellent
well
guess,
done.
Kevin.
Well done,
nice.
Chip.
Thank you, Chip.
Well
all right, Ralph.
Done.
Allie just thought of one. Ralph, steal it. Steal it. Steal it. Use your mind power.
Read her mind.
You probably could.
Hellraiser.
Ooh.
No. Ah! I'm so sorry. So sorry. Allie, your final guess?
What about the young lady and her dirty pillows? Carrie.
Carrie's number 15 on the
Screw
list.
Screw you, list.
Not a point, but still a good
Maybe
guess.
Back off the buildup if you're not really sure where it lands on the list. Perhaps. What about?
What about Pink
Adventures of a Young Lady that I like to call when I refer to her as Carrie?
That's what I do when I can't think of the word Carrie.
Who won the game before I reveal the top 10?
Stupid Ralph.
Stupid Ralph won the game.
Son
all right,
bitch.
Number 10 on the list of the scariest movies of all time is a film called Jaws.
You
number 9 is Night of the Living Dead.
Jaws. Film, but sure, it is scary. It's
I guess
scary.
Very scary.
So,
yeah.
But,
Number 9, Kevin got it, is Night of the Living Dead. Number 8 is Psycho.
Psycho.
Number 7 is Halloween. Number 6 is The Thing from 1982, which I believe was remade within the last few years. That's the one of the monster at the South
scary.
Pole or something, right?
Boo.
Number 5... And this is one that surprised me because I think of it more as science fiction, but it certainly was terrifying for folks in the theater to see a movie called Alien.
Yeah,
number 5.
Yeah, I guess so.
The
yeah.
creature was pretty scary.
Number 4 was Rosemary's Baby.
Mm. Oh, she was a sled, right?
Then that was Rosebud, Ellie. Oh. Then Texas Chainsaw Massacre, you guys guessed The Shining was number 2. And The Exorcist, the scariest movie of all time. So there you go. This has been B-Mix Us Guess.
B-Mix Us Guess, yeah.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 5 minutes till 8.
Psycho killer.
Qu'est-ce que c'est?
Right?
Right?
Talk to our good friend David Koechner coming up here just after 8 o'clock this morning. He is in that new Scout's Guide to Zombies. You've known him for a million years, right, Rob?
A million years.
You and the Keck?
We go back, gosh, really like, I don't know, almost 20 years we've been pals. Love him.
That's awesome.
He's good dude.
He's great. He's
Kex,
great.
Kex is the man.
You love the
Coming
Kex.
Up first the showbiz beat with Ralph Graven. What's going on?
Don't forget, set your clocks back this weekend. It's daylight savings time, so make sure that you take
standard
care of
time.
That accordingly. You don't want to be caught unawares.
It's the
and
return
show
to standard
up
time.
To work, you know, 45 minutes late or whatever works. I'm really sure how that happens. Anyway, so I'm
sure. Go ahead. Saturday night, Sunday morning, daylight savings time.
Right.
Uh-huh.
Don't forget.
Return to
so Taylor Swift is awful.
Is the best. Oh,
and
I didn't think you were going to say that.
She posted a picture for Throwback Thursday yesterday of her in an old Halloween costume. And she was dressed as a Teletubby.
Okay.
Adorable.
And she posts in, she writes in the posting that I was wearing it before they got big. The Teletubbies.
Oh, man.
So she's
hipster.
Like a Teletubby hipster. Like she knew the Teletubbies before everyone else discovered them. That's how cool she was.
Bean.
She's a
I don't think that was her story at
that
all.
That was her story.
Was...
She said, I wore it before they got huge, so everyone had to ask me while I was dressed as a yellow pregnant alien. Because she was dressed as the yellow Teletubby.
That's a hipster move right there.
She was so early into Teletubbies before anyone else knew who they were. Isn't she cool? Isn't she the best? Don't you wish she dies in a fire?
Oh.
Oh, wait a minute. I don't know if that third one really goes with the first two.
Let's open up a blog.
God, she's insufferable.
Or she wore a Halloween costume that a lot of people didn't know because they didn't watch the show. That's possible. That's happened to people.
She said she was into them before they were huge.
Anybody
it's literally hipster language. It's from the hipster handbook, that phrase.
Come on, Bean.
Come on.
Look, come on.
Taylor is not known for being hip, by the way, or ahead of the curve. So
why is she
this
claiming
story
that?
Story seems believable to me.
All right.
Oh.
Sit down.
I'm serious. Carrie Underwood. While we're talking about female singers. Turns out she's a serious Star Trek geek. Do you have any idea?
No.
Right? She told Us Weekly magazine that she has a massive crush on Patrick Stewart.
Well.
And has for years.
Who doesn't?
Who hasn't?
Right?
She got in contact with him via Twitter. Apparently they connected up and became Twitter buddies. And Patrick Stewart apparently... is a huge fan of hers. He tweeted her that her words, her kind words to him, excited him, and I quote, more than the solid results of my recent bone density scan.
Wow, you sexy talker, you.
That's
he's
so
hitting
awesome.
On her hard.
That's so he's so funny. Make it sound
Ralph, you got no interest in Carrie hosting the CMAs again this week, do you?
No.
Okay.
I do, though. I'm excited about the fact she's going to be performing on Dick Clark's Rockin' New Year's Eve this year.
Oh, okay.
Because I think Dick's hosting again. I think
he's back?
Yeah. Well, why else would they keep his name in the title if he wasn't coming back?
He must be there. Okay.
I think he's finally going to come out of retirement. I think he's going to host again. I can't wait.
It's been a while.
12, 4, 7, 8, 4, 2, 1... Merry Christmas, everybody!
This is what everybody's been waiting for. Now we have a lot more entertainment for you coming up, so don't call it a night yet.
I won't do whatever it is you said.
All right, let's count it down.
All right,
20,
here we go.
19,
here we go.
16, 17, 9, 12, 10, 4, 14. Happy New Year! 7, 6, 8, 11, 11, 18, 5, 3, 2, 20. Happy New Year,
everybody.
Thank you, Dick.
Don't leave.
Hey,
come on, Allie.
Allie, come back.
Come on. Still... Oh, I'll tell you, when the clock strikes 14 and that ball drops, it just excites me each and every year. I got to tell you. Come on, Allie. Come on back. We're just having some fun. If you can't laugh at Dick, what can you laugh at?
Right?
Today's celebrity birthdays. Matthew Martin is 37 years old today. Actress Nia Long turns 45. Gavin Rossdale. He's 50 years old today. Ladies, I heard he's single. And ready to mingle. And Henry Mother-Lovin' Winkler. Not just the Fonz, but a wildly popular and successful director, producer, all-around good man, and he got me a hell of a deal on my reverse mortgage, so God bless
him. And he runs a full hospital.
Children's
Hospital?
I ain't got nothing.
Children's Hospital?
Oh, he's on Children's Hospital.
Yeah,
he's at the okay.
The administrator. Right.
Okay.
My bad.
He's 70 today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
I was excited about that until I realized no one cared.
The K-Rock Showbiz Beat is brought to you by Stan...
Playing a little Warren Zevon there for Halloween as we get into the weekend here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Rob Zombie coming up. Also, Susie Sugan. A lot of great requests, by the way. People seem to be really, really enjoying the Halloween music. Speaking of this weekend, what I'm about to give away has nothing to do with it.
All right.
It's November 14th.
It's a good transition.
November the 14th is the Cali Uncorked Festival that is going to be going on. Down in Irvine, I want to say. We got a pair of tickets and VIP lounge passes to this event right now. It is a day-long craft beer, wine, music, and comedy festival. The band Revolution is going to be there. A bunch of other great musical acts, plus Funny or Die's comedy stage, headlined by Anchorman's champ himself, David Koechner, who's going to join us on the phone here in just a moment. You can call right now at 1-800-520-1067. Callers 10 through 13, win your way into this event. Again, it's coming up on November the 14th at Oak Canyon Park. Cali Uncorked, presented by Harrah's Southern California Resort.
All right, Zombie. This is the Scout's Guide to the Zombie Apocalypse that we're going to talk about in a minute, as soon as David calls.
While we're waiting for him, we can remind you again that we're going to be playing This Is Halloween from the Nightmare Before Christmas movie. When you hear that on the Kevin and Bean Show, you just be caller one and you win your way in to see Danny Elfman and meet Danny Elfman this Sunday night at the Hollywood Bowl. That's going to be in the front row and a meet and greet with Mr. Elfman. That will play sometime between now and the end of the show, so keep on listening to the world famous K-Rock. All right. They got David Koechner on the line. The film, as Kevin mentioned, is Scout's Guide to Zombie Apocalypse. It is in theaters now, and it's a great pleasure.
Now it's a great pleasure.
It wasn't before, but now it really is to welcome our friend Mr. Koechner back to the show. Hey, David, what's going on, buddy?
Hey, good morning. How's the gang?
We are good.
We're doing great, and we're excited to have you on for many reasons, not the least of which is you and Stone Street are the only two Royals fans we know personally, and I can't imagine what this week has been like for you watching your boys in the World Series.
Wow, it's been fun. How about some hot bats?
caught
right?
that.
Right?
Mm. Yeah. Crazy fun, man. That game was a Wednesday night. Was so great. If you
yeah,
know,
what?
If you, yeah. Just almost a laugh, but in a good way. Just a smile. I don't mean it, you know, not laughing at the other team, of course. Good sports. But, wow, that was so much fun.
I don't know what you're saying right now.
What was it like growing up as a Royals fan? I mean, you're old enough to remember the last time they won the World Series 30 years ago, but I'm saying after that, you had a lot of incredibly lean years where it was probably pretty tough to be a Kansas City fan.
Yeah, there were years where you're like, I don't want to look at the paper today. I don't want to know. And that was the same story for years. But, yeah, they finally ponied up, got some great young players, and here we are 2 years in a row. Incredible.
Yep, pretty incredible.
Incredible.
All right, let's talk zombies, man. I was surprised and delighted to see that you were in this Scout Guide to the Zombie Apocalypse. It looks like so much fun, and I assume, even in your long career, this is the first time you've ever played a zombie.
First zombie, yes. I'm trying to think myself. First zombie, that is correct, and it was a hoot. So, you know, that's what's so fun about show business. You want to do this? You want to do that? You want to be a zombie? Yes. Why wouldn't you?
Why wouldn't you indeed? Here's some of the trailer.
What is going on?
You think everyone's eating each other?
Guys, the police are gone. The military, they're not coming either.
But tonight, we're going to show them what being a real scout's all about. We're just going to stand here, and we're going to go save the world.
That was a really good speech, Ben.
It's Kelly to Rogers. He looks like crap.
He set him on fire.
He tried to eat me.
It looks like a classic movie in that it's half zombies and half boobies. And what else do you want on Halloween weekend?
You summed it all up. That is the perfect summation. Oh. If you are a young man or a young lady that enjoys zombies and boobies,
right.
you got to get out to the local Cineplex.
And if you don't, get out of America.
That's right.
Right.
We don't need you.
That's
we don't
right.
Need you.
Thank
That's
you.
It.
Thank you. We are in the election season,
yeah.
So or the presidential run season. So, yeah, I'm waiting for one of the candidates to endorse this movie.
So I'm sure that'll happen.
I challenge Ben Carson to endorse Scout's Guide and explain what zombies are.
That would be the first interesting thing that Dr. Carson has said all year long, David. What's it like for you on a movie like this where you're working with so many young actors? I mean, this is a breakthrough movie for a lot of these kids who I'm sure are very talented, but we haven't seen them before. Do you feel like the old man on the set? They have a lot of questions.
Only every day. But the thing is, you know, after a while, I was just in the makeup trailer for 4 hours. And then I'd go see them for a little while, and they'd try to hurt me, either torch me or hit me with an oar or run me over or try to blow me up. So that was always fun. But, no, they were delightful. You know, there's a different energy. Those guys are kind of, you know, bright-eyed and bushy-tailed and really digging it, having a blast. It's kind of like a playground. And I'm the school marm on the playground.
Yeah, it looks like a lot of fun, and I hate to see you on fire, but I know you're doing it for all the right reasons, David.
Yeah. For ultimately to help save humanity.
Are you feeling some of the Boy Scout heat coming down on you? Because they're afraid that people will actually mistake characters in this movie as actual Boy Scouts.
Well, that's why it's called Scout's Guide. I think there was a legal impediment to calling it Boy Scout. It's just Scout. I think you can't trademark the word Scout, I'm guessing, or you can't prevent people from saying that. So I think that's what it was. I don't get into all the legalese. I just look at the script and see how I get blown up or hurt.
Exactly. Well, that's why your career has lasted as long as it has, David. The movie is called The Scout's Guide to the Zombie Apocalypse. It is in theaters tonight. Great idea for Halloween weekend. Super fun. We love you, man. And it's always a pleasure to catch up with you on the Kevin DeBeach Show. Go Royals, and happy Halloween.
Right on, gang. Thank you, man. Happy Halloween.
A little Rob Zombie for Halloween. Come on. How great is that?
That is great.
Play that song more often, by the way.
Okay. Noted.
Yep. Hey, here's a perennial topic that comes up at this time of year
Jake, too.
This time of year, every year. There's a advice columnist, Kevin, you probably hate advice columnists, but her name is Prudence, and she writes for Slate.com, and people write in with all sorts of interesting questions,
Do
and
they
she's
write
very
Dear
talented.
Prudence?
Dear Prudence, yes.
Ugh.
Like the song, yes, Allie. But this is a great question that a lot of our listeners would be interested in.
Who writes Dear those? Prudence. Who writes these letters to those people?
People who are looking for guidance in their life, Kevin. Dear Prudence, I live in one of the wealthiest neighborhoods in the country. On one of the more modest streets, though, it's mostly doctors and lawyers and family business owners. A few blocks away are billionaires, families with famous last names, media moguls, etc. I have noticed that on Halloween, what seems like 75% of the trick-or-treaters are clearly not from this neighborhood.
Racist.
Kids arrive in overflowing cars from less fortunate areas. I feel this is inappropriate. Halloween isn't a social service or a charity in which I have to buy candy for less fortunate children. Obviously, this makes me feel like a terrible person because what's the big deal about making less fortunate kids happy on a holiday? But it still bugs me because we already pay more than enough taxes toward actual social services.
Did Prudence write back, you are a terrible person?
Here is the question in the last sentence of her letter that is posed to Dear Prudence, and this is the question that we are posing to the Kevin and Bean audience as well at 1-800-520-1067. We want your opinion on answering this question. Should Halloween be a neighborhood activity, or is it legitimately a free-for-all in which people hunt down the best candy grounds for their kids? Signed, Halloween for the 99%. All right, what do you guys think?
Here's the thing. You can turn off your lights and no one will stop. I know a lot of people who live in neighborhoods like that and they love it.
Yeah.
They put up decorations. They get a lot of candy. They love the fact that a bunch of kids come by. And if their neighbor doesn't have their lights on, people just keep moving. There's no
– So you're saying if you don't want all the kids in the world to come to your house, including kids from other neighborhoods, don't – be involved in Halloween at all. There's no middle ground where you can just give candy to the kids in your neighborhood.
Correct.
Yeah, you're not going to cart them. Come on.
I mean, honestly, you know if you live in that neighborhood, you know when every year it's the same.
Yeah.
Way more kids are in that neighborhood than others, and you know that's the thing. So
it's one
you don't
night
have any problem
a year.
With it. Cart or don't.
Suck it up, people. If you live in a great neighborhood, you can afford the candy, give out some candy, and by God, give out full bars, you rich bastard. It's one night a year. Come on.
Why? Once again, I have to ask, and I'm not saying I disagree with you, Allie, but I'm playing devil's advocate a little bit here. Why are you against the rich people? Just because they have
more money,
does that mean they should
spend?
It sounds like you think they should spend way more money than the average person has to for Halloween because they can afford it? Is that what you're saying?
One night a year.
Would it kill you? That's your
Would
point.
It kill you? Little okay. princess comes to the door. Give them a candy bar.
We're going to take your calls at 1-800-520-1067.
I was going to go through a ton of costumes, Bean.
And I'll also read Prudence's response to this listener. But first, didn't our friend Mike Catherwood deal with this in his neighborhood a few years back, Kevin?
Yeah, he carted them. He carted the kids. Yeah, this is Psycho Mike outside of his house as kids came by.
Trick or treat, little boy, little girl. What's underneath there?
Trick or treat.
Trick or treat here.
Where are you guys from?
Here.
What's your zip code?
911-08.
911-08?
Yeah.
All right. More candy for you. Hold on.
Thank you.
Trick or treat to you.
Trick or treat to everybody in the world.
What's your name?
William.
William, where do you go to school?
Washington.
Where do you live?
A few houses down.
All right. Candy for you. Hold on. You're the man, William. Trick or treat.
Trick or treat.
What's your name?
Jack.
Where do you live, Jack?
Down there.
What do you mean down there? How far away down there?
Like 7 houses.
Okay, good, good. Candy for you. I'm trying to filter out the non-neighborhood kids, Jack. You know what I'm saying? Hey, wait. Grim Reaper, what's your name?
Leon.
Leon, where are you from?
Alhambra.
Alhambra? No candy for you. Next house. Next house. Hey, beautiful princess, what's your name?
Gigi.
What's that?
Gigi.
Where are you from?
Temple City.
No candy for you. Next house.
All right, that's one way to handle it. Just get zip codes from the kids. All right, a quick break in your calls. 1-800-520-1067. Halloween, is it for neighborhood kids only, or is it a free-for-all where everybody can come and just basically rob you? That's the question. Call us. We'll talk to you next on K-Rock.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's the Kevin and Bean Show. All music for Halloween today.
Right?
Right.
Here's a question on the table written to an advice columnist at Slate.com. Should Halloween be a neighborhood activity, or is it legitimately a free-for-all in which people hunt down the best candy grounds for their kids? Signed, Halloween for the 99%. I'll tell you what Prudence answered that question. But we're hearing from a lot of Kevin and Bean listeners, including this one, listening online from Wichita, Kansas. This is Sean, who says, I call those people poachers. Neighborhood kids only. Screw the poachers. And this is from Sean, who lives in Kansas, which is supposed to be the big-hearted Midwest. What's up with that? We heard from our friend Chris on the Kevin Bean Twitter account. If you're buying the candy with the intention of giving it all away, why does it matter who gets it? Well, I think the people who are having to give out so much more candy than they want would say it's because they have to buy, you know, five times as much candy because people are coming in. The poachers are coming in from out of town.
But I'm going to say again, you don't have to. If you run out, you run out. You turn off your lights. Everybody moves on. It's okay.
Okay. Well, people are looking for some middle ground. They want to give kids to who they want to give candy to, you know, and not to others. I think that's what they're looking for. All right. Let's take some calls. 1-800-520-1067. Why don't we start with Jasmine Monterey up first on line five, please.
Hey, Jasmine.
Hi. Oh, my God. I can't believe I'm on. I listen to you guys every day on the way to work.
You're on, and thank you very much for that. We appreciate it.
Well, first of all, I was thinking maybe they don't want to go in their area because, like, where I live, it's nothing but old people. Like, what are they going to give out? Or, like, second of all, right next to my area is a super bad, like, gang-infested area. And, like, what are they going to do, like, knock on the door and, like, get shot? I would not want to go and get candy there.
So you're saying because kids live in neighborhoods that are unsafe, it's okay for them to go to safe neighborhoods to trick-or-treat?
Yeah, why not? And if they do go into an area where they're wealthier and they have the money, what are they going to spend, like, $200 on candy? That's, like, pennies, you know?
Right.
I agree.
So, I mean,
trick-or-treat or shot in the face?
See?
You don't want to go there.
No.
You don't want to go there. All right.
Thank you for the call, Jasmine. Appreciate you listening, too. Let's go to Brian Long Beach. He's up next on line six. He may have a different opinion.
Hey, Brian.
Hey. Yeah, I agree with Psycho Mike because I live in Long Beach. I don't have a lot of money. I decorate my house. I get it all decked out. But there are so many people that come by. It's amazing. It's, like, crazy.
So
it's
you,
like,
live in one of the good neighborhoods where people from all around sort of just bus in.
Yeah. I just heard today that there is a Target app that tells you the good neighborhoods, and you can click the house where the good candy is coming out.
What's the name of that?
This is the greatest news ever.
This is the best app ever.
It is not.
What's the name of it? What's the name of it?
Now I regret. Maybe I shouldn't tell you.
Well, what's the name of it, Brian?
It's called Trickster, I think it's called, or Keister.
Well, this could bring you to something very different. So
did you say Keister?
That out. I heard Titster.
Oh, I heard Keister. That's way worse.
Okay, look. If you really want to, just look up Treat Candy app, and it'll come up.
All right, Treat Candy app.
All right. I'm not sure that was your intention, was to spread the word on that app.
All right,
good.
Thank you, Brian.
All right, Brian. Stop talking.
Stop talking. Okay, thank you. Let's go to Chris in Burbank. He's up next, line three here on the Kevin and Bean Show. If you're just joining us, we're talking about kids who come in from other neighborhoods because you've got the best candy. Is it fair? Should you have to feed the whole world on Halloween night?
And we're talking about apps where you can find the good candy.
What say you, Chris?
Hey, Chris.
Yeah, I don't know about the app, but I think that's good marketing.
Yeah.
But I'm totally in agreement with Allie. You know, Halloween is for the kids.
Right.
When I was a kid, we always knew the good neighborhoods. We knew the best houses. Mm-hmm. I used to change my outfit.
Absolutely.
If we found out somebody was, like, giving out full bars or whatnot, yeah, you swap outfits with another kid you're trick-or-treating with, and you'd hit that house a couple times. I mean, come on.
Absolutely. Chris, we must have grown up in the same neighborhood. But the thing with this is the one time a year where kids can feel safe and be actual kids. So if you live in an area that's crime infested, whatnot, what's the harm of going to an area where you actually feel okay walking up to doors?
This is the one night a year you should be able to rip off rich people. That's what you're saying.
No, I'm with you because they don't have to do it. Again, if there's five houses on a block and one is dark, no one cares.
Yeah.
You just move on to the next one.
I'm on a pretty good block in Burbank, and you get everybody dropping people off, but I'm living a little bit up one of the streets, and a lot of the neighbors do turn out their lights.
I'm giving away like so much candy at the end of the night for anybody that's just willing to trek up the hill.
Uh-huh. What's your address?
Well, we're going to find you on Treatster, man. Don't worry. We're going to find you. Thank you for the call. Appreciate that. Let's do one more. Let's make it Oscar Rosemead. He'll get the final word on this, and then we'll hear what Dear Prudence said to the letter writer at Slate.com. Oscar, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Yeah, you know what? That person who is writing that column, might have, she or whoever called in, grew up with a silver spoon. If you didn't grow up with a silver spoon and you know that they're in a good neighborhood, that your children could be safe and, you know, just collect candy, then that's what you do. But if you don't, you could just turn off the lights and that would be it. But
So count your lucky stars. Hey, you're lucky that you have the candy to give. You could afford it. Go ahead and do it and quit belly aching.
And if you're completely done, you know, if you run out of candy, just turn off your lights. But don't discriminate. Don't be putting up things that make other families feel awful about taking their kids to a safer neighborhood, because that's probably all they could afford.
Amen, right. Oscar.
Here's what Prudence says. There you are on the impoverished side of Greenwich or Beverly Hills with the other struggling lawyers, doctors, and business owners. Your wine makes me kind of wish that people from the actual poor side of town come this year not with scary costumes but with real pitchforks. Stop being callous and miserly and go to Costco, you cheapskate, and get enough candy to fill the bag of the kids who come one day a year to marvel how the 1% lives.
I couldn't agree with more.
Prudence and Oscar would be together on that. That's sweet. Thank you for the call.
Dude. It's going to be fun. Going to be fun this weekend to see you at the Hollywood Bowl with Danny Elfman and the orchestra and the Tim Burton's Nightmare Before Christmas all showing there on the big screen. It's going to be awesome. We've got tickets for Sunday, plus meet and greet with Danny Elfman and front row. Let's give them away. What do you think?
Hey, Jeff.
Hey.
Your caller won. Congratulations.
Sweet. Thank you guys so much.
Front row seats. You get a meet and greet with Danny Elfman.
Oh, this is awesome. Badass.
Badass indeed. Hey, you haven't had much time to think about it, like 10 seconds, but what are you going to say to Danny Elfman? I mean, the dude is a legend.
I love the guy. I have no idea what I'm going to ask.
Can I give you a tip?
Yes.
Don't ask about Boingo.
Yeah. Steer clear of Boingo.
Subject,
yeah.
Here's what you do, Jeff, and I guarantee you this will leave an impression. Just walk him to go, hack, and turn around and walk right out of the room. That'd be awesome.
Seriously,
You'll never forget that.
Well, thanks so much for listening. Hope you're enjoying all the Halloween music here on the Kevin and Bean Show today. You have a great, great weekend. Give Mr. Elfman our best and have fun on Sunday night, okay?
Thank you guys so much.
Thank you, Jeff.
All right. That was awesome. All right, more Halloween music coming up. Plus, I think we clear those lines, don't we, and open them up for the next big giveaway, right?
Yes, we do.
Yes. I think we're giving away tickets for Spectre, right?
Tickets for Spectre.
Right?
Tickets for Spectre.
In theaters everywhere and
there
everywhere.
They're
in theaters.
It's the latest.
It's
the latest
week in theaters. 007. 6.
November 6th.
What's happening?
What is happening?
Guys, we should be able to keep it together.
Right, we should keep it together at least until the end of the show.
You get to see it at the K-Rock Day screening.
November the 6th, but we're having a screening on November 4th at the Sony Backlot.
If you're a fan of the franchise, call us now. 1-800-520-1067. Coming up right after.
Showbiz beat.
Not confusing at all.
Nope. We were speculating.
I feel like that was just a little worse than normal.
A little bit.
For the show. Just not
or
much,
was
though.
It a little better?
Not maybe. I don't know.
We were speculating when the BBC announced they were going to be filming Adele in concert in London to air as a one-time special on their network, whether this was a good indicator that she was going to tour to support her new album, 25, or whether she was going to not do a concert tour, rather just do this televised concert and let sort of that satisfy fans. We didn't know which way to go with it. Now I'm starting to think the latter.
Really?
NBC has just announced they are going to be filming a one-night show in New York City to be aired on their network as Adele live in New York City. So that means 2 1-hour Adele concert specials will be airing on both sides of the pond. Lends this guy...
He's pointing to himself, people. Mm-hmm.
...to believe that maybe she will not be touring in support of this album, which saddens me because I would love to see her live.
That does not suggest a 100-city tour.
No, it does not. If she's going to be putting her live show on television, both in the UK and the United States, I get the sense that she's saying, here you go, here's your live performance, everybody enjoy. Which bums me out, as the Canadians say.
Right.
So that'll be happening in Radio City Music Hall on November the 17th. It will be filmed for a one-hour NBC special that will then air on December the 14th, just before Christmas time. So there you go. Again, no confirmation one way or the other regarding a tour, but I'm getting a sinking feeling. I'm also getting a sinking feeling about this announcement. And let me clarify, after I announce it, why this bugs me so much. So there's no confusion. It's just been announced that director Gary Ross, the man behind Hunger Games and Seabiscuit, a very talented director, has cast Sandra Bullock, a very talented actress, as the lead in an all-female remake of Ocean's 11. Now it's going to be Sandra Bullock getting together a team of all-lady thieves to remake Ocean's 11 as a heist movie.
Okay.
Okay.
Doesn't it strike anyone as incredibly gimmicky to do that?
I would think
so. And here's the thing. I'm not against women in movies. I love women. I love movies. I think the two go together like peanut butter and chocolate. But if you're going, if you've got Sandra Bullock already, do you need to have the extra sort of gimmick of making it an Ocean's 11 remake? Why not do a brand new heist film with an all-female team of thieves led by Sandra Bullock? I'm already in. You don't have to slap the Ocean's 11 title on it. It's not a franchise like Ghostbusters or something else where it's a high concept thing and you're just replacing it with all female actors. It just seems
it's a little gimmicky.
It is gimmicky, and I think that takes away from what should be an exciting project, because it smells like crass commercialism just to slap the Ocean's 11 name on it in hopes of milking a couple extra dollars out of people.
Well, that's all well and good, but what does Diplo think?
Right.
Good point.
Right.
Let's get Diplo on the phone. Is Diplo on the phone?
Smells like donkey ass.
So that's your announcement. That little caveat, notwithstanding, I think
it could still be great.
It probably will be great and fun. But I just like, you don't have to reach so hard. You got Sandra Bullock and a team of female thieves pulling off a heist. I'm already there. You've got my money.
Write a script.
And then to reboot Ocean's 11 so soon on the tail of that franchise ending, what, how many years ago was Ocean 13? A couple years ago? Four or five?
Yeah. And the reason the Ocean's franchise was rebooted in the first place is because the original movie wasn't that good and was 40 years old.
Right, and no one really remembered it other than, like, hardcore Frank Sinatra fans.
Right.
So, there you go. What do you have? This bugs me, too.
Wow, craggy old man. Get off my lawn,
get some stuff off my chest in this showbiz beat.
I don't want to know about bad things at all.
I don't want to know about bad things at all either. Especially, I don't want to know about what's going on inside the mind of Subway spokesman Jared Vogel.
Oh, no.
Oh, this story. Dude. Dr. Phil, yesterday and then in part two today on his syndicated daytime television program, is playing audio recordings of the phone calls that Jared Vogel had with a woman named Rochelle Herman Walrond, who was a journalist who goaded him into sharing his sexual fantasies about children on the telephone and recorded those phone calls. Now, Dr. Phil is sitting there on television yesterday and today airing those audio tapes, listening to them, and commenting on them as if he's making some deep discovery about Jared Fogle's psyche, when all it is just the worst kind of pandering for looky-loos to tune in to listen to this creep perv over children.
Yes,
I want to wrestle you so freaking bad.
I think it is repulsive and repugnant because it's not investigative journalism by any stretch of the imagination. This guy's already pled guilty to many counts of this filth in August. It's not like Dr. Phil's digging into this story in order to hopes to bring this guy to justice. That's already been done. The prosecutors already have these tapes. The only possible reason this guy could be playing these things is just to get salacious listenership and viewership for his crappy program. And I find
I like to make love.
Cheap and repulsive. So I implore you.
I could probably teach you a few things.
All right.
I implore you not to watch that show.
I'll be the best sex you will ever have.
I know Bean has no choice. He can't help himself. He has to watch it. But no one else, please. Stay away.
Did you bring condoms?
Ugh. It's just, it's the, and it would be bad enough if someone got on television and said, hey, I got the Jared Fogle tapes. Let's listen in. This stuff is really sick, right? But for Dr. Phil to pretend like there's some therapeutic aspect to this, that he is doing an in-depth investigation into the mind of a monster, it's just crap.
He's going to teach people all about that?
It's crap.
I agree with you, by the way, Ralph. All seriousness on this topic. And I'm also curious about this woman who is responsible for the authorities being alerted to Jared from Subway and his predilection toward children. She taped these phone calls with him for 5 years.
Yes.
Undercover.
That seems like
too long before you drop a dime and turn the dude in. Because it seems to me like she kind of knew about it ahead of time while sex was going on with kids in various hotel rooms and whatnot.
Something's hinky with her.
And I don't know what that relationship was like or why she felt like she needed to keep that charade going for so long that she was a sympathetic ear to him.
Yes.
This whole story is stomach-churning.
Yeah, she's damaged goods as well. And
think so.
I would like him to be put in a dark hole for the rest of his life, but I don't need Dr. Phil profiting off of this. I don't need him garnering ratings because he is airing this garbage. And there's no need for it. No one needs to listen to this. No one needs to hear this guy. He doesn't need to be publicized or promoted any more than he already has been.
And he took a plea. He could be out in, I think, 4 years.
Yeah.
Come on.
Well, then the civil... I mean, he won't go back to jail, I guess, but I'm sure there'll be millions of dollars in civil cases too, right? Or is he paying all those off now before he goes away?
I'm not sure how he's manipulating the system in order to do the least amount of damage.
It's a bad deal. I think death penalty for Jared, death penalty for Dr. Phil.
I like it. I approve.
All right.
Hey, on a lighter side, tonight at the Improv in Irvine, California, Kevin Smith and I are returning to Orange County to bring Hollywood Babylon back. We're going to celebrate Halloween tonight at the Irvine Improv. The Late Show, 9:45. We'd love to have you come out and join us. I've just talked to someone. They said there's 8 tickets left.
8.
So if you want to go, to improv.com, click on Irvine. You can get information and tickets for there. We're going to have a good time.
I figured it out. You're going to go as Pirate Jack.
Oh!
From La Valangela?
Right. Yes.
Like I could afford the rights to that character. Kidding me? He was one of the most popular Halloween costumes this season.
I didn't see that anywhere.
Oh, yes.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Everyone's got their eye patch book. Today's celebrity birthdays, Matthew Morrison, talented Broadway actor, singer, dancer, also from Glee, of course, 37 years old today. Actress Nia Long is 45. Gavin Rossdale, of course, from Bush, 50. And the Fonz himself, Henry Winkler. The guy's accomplished so much in his life. I wonder if it ever bothers him that he's still the Fonz. People still say the Fonz when they say Henry Winkler.
He seems to be so gracious about it.
Cannot separate the two.
Yeah.
One of the biggest TV characters in history of the medium. Henry Winkler, 70 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Terrorize y'all's neighborhoods.
He does say y'all's.
Yes, he does.
Yeah. Vincent Price.
Hey, Thriller on K-Rock 106.7 KRQ, Halloween weekend. Thanks for listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. Remember yesterday at this time, Ralph, when you were on trying to help reunite a lost dog that the Kevin and Bean phone screener had found with its owner?
I do remember that.
And by found, we mean kidnapped.
We got a call just before the end of the show yesterday that turned out to be the owner who will join us on the program to tell us what happened to her little dog and the series of circumstances that led to the reunion. In about 15 minutes, we'll talk to that owner here on the Kevin
Show. Saved two lives that day, if that's what you mean. Then yes, I did.
Sure. Right. Go ahead and open up the door. Bring in our special guest here to give away these Spectre tickets. November 6th, it's in theaters. Sony Pictures Backlot on the 4th.
What is this?
Hi, Sean Connery. Welcome back to the show, sir.
Shut up. Get on with it.
You're going to help us give away some tickets for Spectre, the latest James Bond film.
Yes, I want to give away
tickets to a franchise that I haven't been involved with for over 40 years.
Well, we appreciate you donating your time this week. It's been cool. Yeah.
Donating? What about the check I was promised? And where is the horse?
This one's called James Bond Themes. Hit it, Steve.
Bond Themes, Bond Themes, Bond Themes, Bond Themes.
Bond, Bond, Bond.
Wait, baby, Jesus. What's wrong with that fellow?
A lot. We've been asking.
What have you done to him?
All right.
Is he has special needs?
I don't. The listeners
is he
are
one of those
hold,
special
Sean?
Needs?
I don't think so.
Well,
explain for them, please, how the game is going to be played today.
Well, to the best of my knowledge, I will be playing a piece of a James Bond movie theme. You need to identify what film it was the musical theme of.
Okay, right. So you don't even have to come up with the musical artist. Just name the movie, right? That's
well,
all you're
if
asking
you'd like
for.
Extra credit.
There's no extra credit.
Which will be applied to your grade at the end of the semester. Then okay. Yes, feel free. But just name the movie that it's the theme song from.
All right, let's start with Jennifer in Brea.
This couldn't be easier, so don't be stupid.
Jennifer.
Hi.
Jennifer, promise me you won't be promise me you won't be stupid.
I will do my best.
All right. Here's a clip from a James Bond movie theme. Tell us what movie it's from.
Was that Allie just
What?
Wait a minute.
Was she literally singing the answer to the call
why
before
did
she said
just
it?
Sing the title to the film?
Allie, that was
I was just saying, no, it's not from the film.
That was the answer.
I didn't hear it.
No. What movie is it from, Jennifer?
You Only Live Twice.
Oh, dear Lord.
Well, I guess we didn't give enough hints.
Yes.
It was For Your Eyes Only.
I guess the dumb woman
yeah, it was
for your eyes. Singing the yeah. title wasn't enough of a hint.
Sorry you couldn't hear that, Jennifer. Thank you.
For Your Eyes Only.
Even play the next theme or just want Allie to tell the caller what it is?
I was just singing along. I didn't know it was
Jesus.
The movie.
Did you not hear how the game... All right. Who's our next contestant?
Our next contestant is Rudy from San Juan Capistrano. Hi, Rudy.
Good morning, fellas.
Good morning, Rudy. Here is a little piece of a James Bond theme song for you. And if you
All right. What James yeah, Bond movie?
Is that from Russia With Love?
No, it's The World Is Not Enough from Garbage, a fine Scottish lass.
Thank you for calling.
That I've wrecked, by the way.
Oh, I don't think
you have not had sex with Shirley Manson, Shaw. That's just not true.
Couldn't get enough.
It's not true.
You're like 50 years older than she is.
Yes, and think of all the experience I have. Think what I could teach her.
We're 0 for 2 so far. Let's see who's next.
Let's move on to Jerry in La Puente. Hi, Jerry.
I taught her a move I called the Highland Fling.
We don't want to hear about that, Sean.
I sort of do now.
Yeah, Jerry, here's your clip from your James Bond theme song.
But if this ever-changing world in which we live in makes you give in a cry.
Shh, Allie. Shh.
Allie, would you like to finish that one?
I'd love to. Jerry.
Jerry?
Oh, yes. It's Live and Let Die.
Live and Let Die is correct.
Yes, Paul McCartney, that's right, from the film Live and Let Die.
Yes.
Nicely done. You win tickets?
You're going to see Spectre.
Let's go.
I wrecked Paul McCartney, too.
Did you?
Yes.
I do want details of
he
that.
He looked kind of femme back in the day. I was drunk, and I made a mistake. It happens.
Okay. Let's go to Kevin.
You bang one Beatle, suddenly you're labeled forever.
Let's go to Kevin in Costa Mesa. Hi there.
What'd it do?
Kevin, here's a piece of your James Bond theme song.
When it crumbles, we will stand tall, we'll face it all together.
Thank you, Adele, Skyfall.
That's right, from the film Skyfall.
Well done.
With that
well,
pansy well Daniel Craig in it.
He does a great
you're
job.
You're going to Spectre!
Yes!
He will again. All right, two winners down. Sean Connery is helping us give away.
Yes, I thought he was done. Let's go to Mark at Beverly Hills.
Let's
hi, Mark.
Go to Mark. Mark, here's your theme song. If you get this wrong,
I'm
What? The man with the golden gun.
No, we didn't even play it for you. Don't don't lose until you hear the clue. Here you go.
Right.
He's the man with the Midas touch.
Bowfinger Shirley Bassey.
Yes, that's correct.
Shut up.
Midas touch.
Wow.
Okay. We should have taken your first guess.
Bowfinger Shirley Bassey.
Wrong. All right,
you
win.
You know a lot. Take it easy.
Take the tickets and just leave us alone.
Holy crap.
This is a ponderous game, you guys. What's wrong?
Let's try Joe.
Seems so simple in the planning stages.
Let's try Joe and Garden Grove.
Who thought the execution could be so poor?
Well, he would start the game by singing the answer.
All right, a bunch of douchebags would be calling in.
Hi, Joe.
Joe.
Hey, how you doing?
Not good.
Here, please redeem this game for us. Here's your theme song.
Sparkling rounds, my little finger.
I'm going to go with Golden Eye on that one.
No, I'm sorry. Ah. Diamonds Are Forever.
That's what I said. you had the delay on.
Nice. Yes.
Oh, nice try.
Yes, I've got a delay in my pants for you, too.
Let's try one more, you guys.
All right, let's go to Colin in Costa Mesa. Hi, Colin.
Good morning.
Good morning, Colin. Here's a little taste of a James Bond movie theme for you.
Until we
View to a Kill?
Yes.
Nicely done.
View to a Kill.
Right.
I feel good about leaving
that
it there. What about you, boys?
85-year-old Roger Moore on top of a Zeppelin. What a piece of crap that was.
It's in theaters everywhere on November 6th. It looks awesome. You'll see it on the Sony Pictures backlot on the 4th. Sean Connery, how much fun has it been having you here this week? We really enjoyed it.
I can't leave here fast enough.
Okay.
AFI on the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ. It's Kevin and Bean Show at 925.
I don't get it. I don't know why you're playing that song. That doesn't make any damn sense to me. Hey, if you're just joining us here on the Kevin and Bean Show, you missed perhaps the worst segment of 2015. I would just like to apologize for anybody who had to sit through that. That was,
I think
that
it
was
went
rough,
well.
You guys.
I was happy
you?
With it. Yeah.
Do you?
Yeah.
Sean kind of stormed out of here. He was
did
not
he?
At me. He was not
I don't blame
pleased.
Him. Let's turn it all around with an amazing story that I am so happy has a happy ending. Ralph, why don't you bring folks up to speed maybe who weren't listening about this time yesterday?
Yesterday, we are working in the office in the other room outside the studio here, and in bounds this adorable little spaniel, little brown and white spaniel starts bouncing around the office. And I was like, how cute is this? Whose dog is this? And in comes Tatiana, one of our phone screeners, and she said, I'm sorry I brought this dog to work, but I was at the Fresh and Easy supermarket on La Cienega here near the station, and this adorable dog was just wandering around the parking lot. And I didn't see a collar, I didn't see a tag, and I was scared for its well-being. So I said, come here, and it was very friendly, came right up to me, and she said, I picked her up, and I brought her here because I was on my way to work. I just couldn't bear to leave her for fear of what might happen. So
was her intention that you would go on the radio with him? Is that
no,
why she brought
no,
it?
No, not at all.
So
she brought it in. She was just going to hold on to it and hopefully find the owner. And so when I heard that story, I said, well, I'm going on the air next with the Showbiz Beat. Let me just put a shout-out out there and see if maybe we can reunite this beautiful dog with her owner. And so we mentioned it in the first Showbiz, and I think we did it again about an hour later. And then just before the end of the show yesterday, we got a phone call from someone saying, did you find my Coco?
And that someone is Bailey, who is Coco's human, and she joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Hey, Bailey.
Good morning, guys. Good morning, Allie.
Hi, Bailey.
Good morning,
Thank
Bailey.
Thank you so much for coming on. We really are so happy we get a chance to talk to you, and it's for such a great reason. Now, Ralph told you about his morning yesterday. Tell us about your morning yesterday.
Well, I've been out of town, and so I received a frantic phone call yesterday from my roommates around 7 in the morning when everybody got up and went to go feed the dogs and realized that one of them was missing, and that one was Coco, who had went on a little adventure during the night. And then the panic kind of started in because I was out of town, and my roommates were obviously very worried that they had messed up and lost my dog. So they
How did Coco get out?
I guess a boar got loose in the backyard the other night. We've been having a bunch of wind and some trees knocking around, and it looks like one of the boards got pushed loose, and she just found the right spot.
So you don't know, your roommates don't know when she got out, sometime before they woke up yesterday morning, sometime in the middle of the night, it sounds
between
like.
Between 10 p.m. and 7 a.m.
Wow. How about that?
And now, did you hear us talking about it on the radio? How did you find out that Coco was with us?
I didn't. I was in San Diego, and so I wasn't listening to you guys that morning. But my roommates were putting up posters. They went out and they made posters first thing in the morning and went out and were putting them up actually at the Fresh and Easy. And
okay.
Somebody at Fresh and Easy said, oh, you should call K-Rock. I think they have your dog. And so it sounded very odd to me. And they
and well, knowing what you know about K-Rock, you assume that someone here had stolen your dog, right?
Yeah. So everybody starts texting me. They're like, you have to call K-Rock. You have to call K-Rock. And I'm like, you're joking, right? I'm really upset about my lost dog. Why would I call the radio?
Well, you might feel better if you win some tickets or something. Who knows?
Yeah. I'm surprised your roommates even told you that they lost the dog, by the way. I thought they would frantically try to find Coco and get her back home before you got back from San Diego. You would never have even been the wiser.
They probably would have, but they probably were hoping that I had some brilliant idea. But really, I was just like, please, please, please find her.
How far away do you live from the Fresh and Easy? How far did Coco
about
have to go to get to the parking lot?
500 feet.
Well, not too bad. Stuck it around home.
And then to make things even odder, I got a phone call last night from one of our neighbors, I believe, who said that he had picked up Coco last night.
What?
In the middle of the night and found her and then brought her home, but that his other roommate accidentally let her out in that morning. Very odd story.
So that dog was lost twice?
Yes. So I guess Coco wasn't happy with them, so she went looking for Tatiana at Fresh and Easy.
Are you positive that Coco wasn't running for freedom?
This dog hates
your dog.
This dog does not want to be at your house.
She was really upset with National Cat Day, and the cats were acting really
oh, yeah.
For her.
Now, let me pay you a compliment here, Bailey, and tell you what Ralph was saying yesterday is that Coco is an awesome dog, and they were having so much fun with her in the office. She is obviously very well trained.
I'm glad to hear that. I work very hard with her, but I'm very proud of her. She's a great dog.
She is so sweet and so loving. I mean, she was just so friendly. And then she looked hungry, so I got her a little beef jerky. And I was breaking
really
off.
Really good at that.
I was breaking off little pieces, and I would say sit and down and roll over. She'd go on her side. I mean, she's really well trained.
Well, did you try Bang Bang?
Listen, I'm not into that. I'm not into that.
What's going on at your house?
I don't know how you roll, Bailey, but that's not what I'm into.
What is Bang Bang?
She'll play dead.
Oh, like a gun, Bang Bang. Okay, my bad.
Yeah.
My bad.
You misunderstood,
bad.
I think.
That's on me. Yeah. That's on this
All right.
guy.
Last question for me, Bailey, is we did notice because somebody tweeted out the lost dog poster that your roommates put out for Coco, and we did notice that there was a reward, and we were wondering when our money is going to arrive here at the radio station.
Yeah.
You take cookies, right?
Dog cookies?
She said dog cookies.
Oh.
I mean, you know, if you're cheap.
For you guys, I would bring Coco back since I know you love her so much.
We do love her.
I would bring her back to visit.
So
you
the
guys.
Reward is I get to spend more time with Coco?
Yes, absolutely.
Well, if I had just kept Coco, I could have had that all the time.
Ralph was this close to taking her home and making her his dog.
She was going
to
be mine if you hadn't called.
I won't send the police over to your house for my stolen dog then.
Right. Well, Bailey, it took about an hour from the time Ralph went on the air with it to the time that word got to you and you called in. So we are so happy that we were able to reunite you with Coco. She's such a sweet dog. We're glad it has a happy ending. We're glad we got a chance to chat with you this morning.
That's amazing. Thank you guys so much. Thank you, Ralph.
My pleasure, Bailey. One last piece of advice, maybe. I don't know. It's crazy. No one does this. But a collar with a tag on it, maybe with like a phone number or some way to reach you if that ever happens
That's
again.
Nuts.
It's on her. It's back on
her. Ah, there we go. Yeah.
All right. Thank you, Bailey.
Little sneaky dog.
We're glad you're back together with your dog.
Thank you guys very much. Have a good morning.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Reward.
Bye.
Cookies.
Yeah, right?
Who dares to enter the house of horrors? Bye.
Come on, Two Eyeballs.
That's the song. There it is, right there. Two Eyeballs on the Kevin Avine Show, 106.7 KROQ. By the way, if you're on Twitter, and thank you for following us at Kevin Avine, listeners are posting pictures of their two eyeballs all day long in the feed. It's been very fun, very clever. Ralph Grammer is here. Time for a final look at the Showbiz Beat here for a Friday morning, Halloween weekend. What's going on, Mr. Grammer?
Real quick email from listener Edwin who said, okay, you guys pulled off the stray dog prank with Sluggo the caller. I only hope Kevin and Bean don't get busted by unsolved mysteries this time as well. He's got it. You're right. You got us. You guys, it was a terrible attempt at trying to garner sympathy for us.
Or we saved two lives.
Did we save two lives?
Well,
at least.
Okay.
Yeah.
Save the life of the dog, for sure, because that dog's good eating. And Bailey probably would have died of a broken heart. So I think we're right.
All right. Gene Baxter and Kevin Ryder were lying.
Yes, they were.
Look, the important thing is that the dog got home with her owner. And I don't want to diminish that at all. I'm not trying to take anything away from that. But I feel like the reward should be forthcoming. Don't you? Tatiana deserves a little something for the heads up.
Tatiana?
Yeah, she's the one who picked the dog up from the parking lot and brought the dog
right
to K-Rock.
That dog would still be running up and down the hallways if I didn't leap into the fray and use the power of the bully pulpit at my disposal.
Mm-hmm. All right, so some for Tatiana, some for Ralph Garman.
Get out the word.
But it's the Kevin and Bean Show, so some for us.
Right. So Chip
We're
and Allie get screwed,
five
though,
bucks
right?
Right. Chip and Allie are out.
All right, good.
Oh, yeah, they're
right,
out. They're just hangers-on at this point.
And if not, barnacles. A monetary award, a little... Right?
Right.
Bailey sounded kind of hot. I'm just saying.
That's all we're saying.
Wow. Look, nothing severe. Just a little.
Oh, Ralph. I didn't
bang.
See that.
Just a little. No, man, not oh, man. Good. It doesn't have to be much, but, you know.
Wow.
Well, the way you just made it
help
seem.
Help a fella
like
out. Well,
need to ruin
it was
it.
A lot.
It should be more like this.
All right. Let's close this party down with our final look at the show. Don't make those hand gestures.
Speaking
ever.
Of parties.
Ever.
I would like to congratulate, once again, Bean Baxter on just a tremendous fail this Halloween season.
I thought we did a good job today.
All I know is Halloween Spooks was played, I think, in your defense, almost half a time this year. We got the least amount of Halloween Spooks we've ever had. In the month of October,
I think we played parts of it five or six times.
Right, and it all added up to almost half a time of hearing Mother Love and Halloween Spooks.
Yeah. Maybe there wasn't as much Halloween Spooks as there should have been.
Oh, you think?
Wasn't.
By that, you mean there should have been some?
Well, I would say none. I would say that what we played was too much.
But you don't know.
I do know.
You don't know.
It's annoying.
It's the greatest Halloween song there is.
It's just not.
Now, I'd mention that beyond that, it's Kevin and Bean Show tradition, really, that Halloween Spooks gets its just due at this time of year. And this is the last show of the Halloween season. Nothing. Buckus.
We've been very busy playing lots of other things today.
I got more of a reward from Bailey than I got Halloween Spooks this Halloween season.
Would you be
season.
Willing to give up a couple of minutes of your showbiz time
no,
right now
because
for
it's
Halloween
a terrible
Spooks.
Song.
I think he would.
Before we do that, yes, I would. But before we do that, real quickly, if you'd like to go to Kamikaze Expo this weekend, Kamikaze Comic Con and Pop Culture Expo happening at the LA Convention Center today, tomorrow, and Sunday. It's a great event. The cosplay contest is going to be going on this weekend. Great guests. You can meet Carrie Fisher, Nichelle Nichols from Star Trek, Stan Lee, of course, himself, Grant Morrison, one of the great comic book writers of our time. It's going to be a great event at the LA Convention Center. It's one of my favorite cons of the year. If you'd like to go, I have got passes for you for the entire weekend. 3-day passes, a pair of them, to the first five callers who call me right now. 1-800-520-1067. Call Beer Mug. Get your passes to Kamikaze Expo. And you can go to KamikazeExpo.com if you want more information and tickets yourself.
What is a nerd?
The people are going to be filling the LA Convention Center this weekend. So call now if you'd like those. Now, with that out of the way, bring it. Give me a little sweet spooks. Give it to me. Come on. All over me. Face, neck, chest. I want it all. I want all that spook. Give me all that Halloween spooks. Come on now. Bring it on. Here we go. Oh, so good.
Yeah.
So good.
Halloween, Halloween, ooh, Halloween. Ghostly things are gonna happen. Ooh-ah, ooh-ah.
that the children could see, but I can't find them for the life of me. And there's Halloween spooks outside my window pane.
All right, Ralph's here with Lee.
See, they're ghosts, Kevin.
Yeah. Yeah, I get that.
It's Al Pacino's ghost.
That would make it a lot better. Now they're gargling.
It's cackling.
Ghost of Yoko Ono.
It's a witch cackling.
This is just hell in the ears.
Holy crap.
Annoying at all.
Don't ruin it.
Nope.
Halloween spooks outside my window. Halloween spooks behind the tree. I wish that the children could see.
Nope.
But I can't find them for the life of me. And there's Halloween spooks.
Nope.
Outside my window.
Now.
Yeah.
That was sweet.
That was fun. Now it's Halloween.
Sweet, sweet spooks. Speaking of spooky things.
Like anyone's listening, Ralph.
How dare you, sir. Norma Sutcliffe and Jerry Helfrich.
Oh, they're the best.
They are. They're suing Warner Brothers. Because their home in Harrisville, Rhode Island, was the background of the 2013 movie The Conjuring. Wildly successful, terrifying film, The Conjuring.
Okay. It was based on a real thing that happened in their home?
Yes.
Okay.
And that home was used in the actual film as well. And now there is a bit of a problem.
What's the problem?
The property is being flooded with unwanted guests, fans, visitors, trespassers who are trying to get a closer look at the house and its history. And Norma and Jerry, who own the property, say Warner Brothers didn't protect their anonymity well enough. It won't end, says Norma to the Boston Globe. It's like Amityville. The fences have been broken down. People try to break in. I fear the worst every single day.
What is wrong with people?
We've just lost the ability to be civil.
This is crazy.
People just do whatever they want. I can imagine. It would be a nightmare. Imagine if you owned a home, a property, and people were just constantly jumping the fence and just coming up, taking pictures, just walking around, doing whatever they wanted.
What's happening?
The people who owned, she mentions Amity. The people who owned the home in the Amityville Horror Story experienced the same thing when that film was a big hit. So, listen, I understand your unhappiness with the situation, but I hardly think it's Warner Brothers' fault that people are a-holes.
Right.
It's not like they're Warner Brothers pulling up with a bus and taking people on a tour of your house. It's just that it was based on the stories from that home, and they used your house.
And people have the option to turn down filming in their house, too, but mostly they say yes because they want to get paid for it.
Yeah. So that's the downside of fame.
Right.
What are you going to do when you own a famous house? Right?
Right.
Who's with me?
Man, right.
Barack Obama.
Guilty.
I don't believe he's been charged with anything. He is often the subject of a gang of folks on YouTube called Barack Dubs, who take Barack Obama's speeches and they take bits and pieces out of it and they cut it together in a mashup and they make the words they pick out of his speeches sing a song. Well, in the honor of the Halloween spirit, they've put together Barack Obama singing Michael Jackson's Thriller. The video is hilarious because it's obviously mismatched. It's just random cuts of him saying different things. Here's a little taste if you'd like to check it out online. This is Barack Obama singing Thriller by Michael Jackson.
I love you back. It's close to midnight,
and something. Evil's lurking in the dark. under the moon. Light. You see, sight that almost stopped your heart. You try to scream. But terror takes a sound before you make it. You start to freeze. As horror looks you right between the eyes, you're paralyzed. Because this is Thriller Night. And no one's gonna save you from the beast I'm about to strike. You know it's Thriller. You're fighting for your life inside a killer Thriller tonight.
How much work do you think you have to go into? How many speeches do you have to look at?
I have to watch the speech again. Just please say paralyzed. Come on!
Just sell syllables you're looking for sometimes to stitch into that piece. So, well done, fellas. Today's celebrity birthdays. Matthew Morrison of Glee fame is 37 years old. Nia Long, the actress, is 45. Gavin Rossdale celebrates his 50th birthday today. And Henry Winkler, one of our favorites around here. Of course, the Fonz back on Happy Days, but also so much more. Actor, director, producer, writer. 70 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Monday morning, we have Andrew Siciliano from the NFL Network taking a look at the NFL action. And Melissa Benoist.
Oh,
Supergirl!
Supergirl!
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
If Ivanka weren't my daughter, perhaps I'd be dating her.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
This is honestly so stupid.
Roll another one.
Big zero.
Just like the other one.
Get your together.
This one seems to be about to quit.
Don't you like that song?
And I need another hit.
Bitch ass, redneck, white bread, chicken, motherfucker. You, your mama, and everything connected to you, you racist piece of you.
Roll.
The more I get to know you, the less I like you.
What's going on over here, Mom?
I don't have another cent.
I hadn't yet formulated that thought into words, but now that you say it out loud, that's exactly what I was thinking.
And I'm not interested.
Just pass it around.
We need to build a wall.
Unfortunately, I believe we're out of time.
When will this insanity stop? When will enough people say, stop this madness? We don't have to live like this.
You should be ashamed of yourself. I am so embarrassed that I had to listen to that. You should really think about what you just did. Disgusting.
This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
We should thank our lucky stars. They're still putting on a program of this caliber after so many years.
What else is on?
Have a safe and sane Halloween and don't eat any razor blades. And here are the monkeys.